ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters here. Or I'm sorry, the Alex Jones headquarters. I'm getting distracted. For some reason, I'm a little bit distracted here at the beginning of the show. People are putting hats on me. They're pinching my head. Craziness. Craziness abounds, folks. We have a lot to cover today. But, we're rapidly coming up on the actual 250th birthday of America. And boy, do we have the merchandise to celebrate it. This very cool shirt in the sort of classic 76 font, America 76, 250 years, now available at thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, I think the coolest hat maybe we've ever sold slash I've ever seen in my life. I genuinely just love this hat, and I would wear it the whole show if I wasn't as professional as I am. America 76 limited edition t-shirt, folks. Make your order now so you can get it delivered by July 4th. In time to wear it to the barbecue and the cookout and whatever else you do to celebrate on July 4th, be decked out with all of the patriotic merchandise you can find at thealexjonesstore.com. Here's a little promo to let you know why you should. Let's watch.
A very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July, with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it and taken it out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people. It is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Shop now, folks. You don't have much time to get your order before July 4th. The last thing you want is to show up to your July 4th barbecue
reality starts here,
wearing Alex something other than a patriotic shirt, a hat, a very cool hat from thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, you keep us on the air and in the fight. And I feel like we finally kind of settled in. I mean, it's been long enough now. I no longer accidentally take the wrong turn towards the old studio. It's like this has become habit now. And of course, it has not been the easiest transition. It was not a transition of choice that we've made. And the transition is ongoing. And of course, these are simply the temporary headquarters of the Alex Jones Network before we move on to our bigger and better studios. Help us get there, as you've helped us maintain this entire time, by going to thealexjonesstore.com. You know, I don't want to say something I shouldn't, but I think it's what the Founding Fathers would do. You know, I've studied the Founding Fathers enough. I think they would go to thealexjonesstore.com and purchase some material. I'm just saying.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on Tri-Iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat. High quality. With a nice leather patch made in the USA. Just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776 Redneck Deluxe. I mean, that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday afternoon, the 25th of June, 2026. Coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com is the link to share. AlexJonesLive.com. We have a lot of stuff to cover today, of course. Gigantic, possibly the biggest earthquake in a century, striking Caracas, Venezuela. Absolutely devastating. We actually go to clip number three here right off the bat. These are aerial visuals showing the extent of destruction following twin earthquakes in La Guaira, however you pronounce it, Venezuela. And again, you can just see the absolute astonishing devastation. I believe the latest count is 188 dead, still tens of thousands unaccounted for in those cities. Just massive devastation across the entire area. Videos coming out about it or from it. Really apocalyptic and incredible. And that's just, of course, one of the major events going on. There's a part of me that wants to, just as a joke, spin the entire show on the reflecting pool. Not only as a parody of the mainstream media, where with everything going on with the earthquake in Venezuela and the war in Iran and the Supreme Court decisions, what if I just spent the entire show talking about Savannah Guthrie's mother being kidnapped and the reflecting pool? We can just give the Alex Jones Network viewers a little taste of what it's like to be a normie for once, learning about utterly unimportant distractions while the world moves on in secrecy behind the scenes. But also, I feel like you could also spend an entire show using the reflecting pool as a metaphor for everything going wrong in this country, including the overwhelming attention that the mainstream media is paying to it. There's a lot there. There's the incompetence. There's the cover-ups. There's the pointless and vicious sabotage by the left, who you can't even explain why they are doing what they're doing. I don't even know if they can. They're almost just acting on instinct. And of course, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised by this, but they genuinely love the algae. They feel a common sense of brotherhood with slime. It's crazy, but it's true. It doesn't make any sense. But really, I feel, you know, it's like it starts off and you hear about the reflecting pond and you're like, okay, they're doing something. Who cares? Oh, municipal repairs. Okay, cool. But why are you talking about this? Why am I hearing about this? And you sort of ignore it. Then you hear about it again. And hear about it again. You start going, well, what is this? What is this? Why are they so obsessed? Why are we talking? And I feel the same way about the ballroom before this. Now that I think actually had a purpose why it was talked about so much, because I don't think it was a ballroom they're building. I think it has a lot more to do with the command and control center underneath the ballroom, but that's beside the point. There's no AI headquarters being built under the reflecting pond as far as I know. As far as I know. Maybe there should be. Maybe if the water was treated in a way that data center water is, nothing would be able to grow in it. That might actually be a strategy. But you hear about it, and you you know, at a certain point, you just go, well, what is, this is insane. Why are we hearing so much about this? Why is CNN sending reporters out to live broadcast from the pond? Why are they taking samples from it? Like, what are we talking about here? And you're sick of hearing about it, and you don't understand why everybody's focusing on it. But then you break through. Then that happens for like a couple weeks. And now I'm at the point where, like, can we talk about nothing but the reflecting pond? Can that be, can we just embrace this? And just, what if that was just all we ever talked about? what if that just became the entirety of our coverage? We can have a live ticker along the bottom showing exactly the number of algae blooms that we're witnessing. We can get live feeds from the reflecting pond, and we can catch the leftist terrorists live as they try to tear this up. I'm embracing it. I'm all for it. We are the reflecting pond. The reflecting pond is us. It is everything. It is our failures and our successes. It's our victories and our defeats. I don't know where I'm going with. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea where I'm going with this. I have no idea why we are talking about the reflecting pond. I just have no idea. But it, in a weird way, it is sort of a metaphor. I think that's all part of it. That's all part of it, is putting up fences around the reflecting pond. You know, again, I was joking at first. Now, maybe we will. Maybe we'll use this and we'll talk about, we can connect this to maybe the temporary fences they put up around the Capitol following January 6th. This is a similar kind of situation here. We can talk about sort of like, in a way, again, America is the reflecting pool. This is us. It's like, it was built to be beautiful. It was built to be accessible. It was built to be a, you know, a gathering place and a place of reflection and beauty. No pun intended. But then we're going to put up an ugly chain link fence around it because a portion of our population just cannot help themselves in whatever they're doing. I mean, they don't gain anything from, you know, it's not like they're like driven by greed to tear up the bottom of the reflecting pond. It's a meaningless, pointless, instinctive drive they feel, like those videos you see of beavers kept in captivity and they're still trying to build dams with stuffed animals because there's no trees available, but they feel like it's right. That feels good to stack things in the path of other things, and they don't know why, but it just feels so good. That's kind of where the left is at this point. They couldn't enunciate, they couldn't explain why they're going around tearing up the bottom of the reflecting pool, which they are. I mean, there may be some other circumstances that are causing the chaos as well, but at least some portion of it is just straight up leftist tearing things up for some reason. It's, they see something beautiful and they want to tear it down. They see something that, you know, serves no purpose other than beautifying the collective space, and like a beaver seeing a stream, they're like, I have to stop this. They're mad. They're insane. They're rabid. It's crazy. It's genuinely crazy. So I'm going to stop talking about it now. This is actually the last I think I'll ever cover the reflecting pond. Probably not. I mean, it will continue to be a big story, but I thought maybe today, since it's what everybody is talking about forever and constantly, and we've hardly touched on it, I actually found a video that actually gives a pretty good breakdown of what's actually going on with the reflecting pond. So if you, like me, have actually avoided most of the stories about the reflection pond, like I don't think I've ever read an article about it or watched a video about it, but still it's a persistent feature of my, you know, daily news gathering. So here's a video that will actually explain to you, like it explained to me, you know, where we actually are in all of this. Well, what the hell is actually going on? And the crew just had the video up. If we can go to the one we were previewing earlier. The pool is reflecting what we see in office, it says. The reflecting pool saga on TikTok by CBC News, the Canadian broadcasting company. Let's see what they have to say about the most important story in the world right now. Let's watch.
The reflecting pool in D.C. has gone from gray to American flag blue.
American flag blue.
To Shrek green, all in a matter of weeks. It's algae. And now the paint's peeling.
It's actually starting to
appeal. It's coming up.
Now, all of this was fairly predictable because upkeep of the reflecting pool at the Lincoln Memorial, this 2,000-foot-long beast of a monument on the National Mall, it has plagued basically every president for nearly a century. Trump is just the latest.
It's embarrassing. It was so horrible. I never saw anything like it. It was filthy dirty.
Just solving that algae problem alone has involved, over the years, installing new water filtration systems, switching the water source. But you're fighting Mother Nature here. Every expert will tell you the pool was practically designed to grow algae because a reflecting pool is only reflective if it's still, right? You can't churn and recirculate and clean the water as vigorously as you would like. So you've got this relatively still water that's also warm because it's shallow and in full sun. If you were trying to biofarm algae, this would be the way to go. Just a perfect facility for growing algae. And it's not just algae. The pool was built on marshlands and basically started sinking the day it was finished. So just imagine, if the structure is constantly shifting unevenly depending on the ground, cracks are going to form, pipes are going to break, and 6 million gallons of pool water need to go somewhere. The government estimates every year around 16 million gallons of water leak out. The former director of the National Park Service said a full rehabilitation of the pool would cost more than $100 million. So when President Trump set his sights on the reflecting pool as part of his efforts to beautify the Capitol ahead of America 250 celebrations, he started with a $15 million reno. In 6 weeks, the pool was drained. The cracks filled, sprayed with a new waterproof sealant, repainted, and refilled. And for a while, it looked pretty good.
I'm impressed, to be honest.
I think it looks beautiful. It looks very dark. It does not look blue.
But sure enough, when the summer weather rolled around, the algae started to regrow, and the pool went from patriotic blue to swamp green. The Trump administration tried to assure everyone that this was just residual algae from the pipes that lay dormant during the renovation. But others questioned whether the pool's new dark blue bottom was absorbing more heat and warming the water for algae to grow. Either way, workers rushed in, sweeping and vacuuming up the algae. A new ozone nano-bubbling system is supposed to destroy algae on a microscopic level, and gallons of hydrogen peroxide were poured into the pool. But then, passersby started to notice the lining of the pool starting to lift, paint peeling and chipping off the bottom, possibly from the hydrogen peroxide, possibly from sabotage.
They cut it very violently, but somebody said they might have put fertilizer. They did something to create the algae.
At least 5 people have been arrested for vandalism. One of them, 3-time Olympian David Hearn. He told the Washington Post he was riding his bike near the monument when he reached in to touch a piece of the lining that was partially detached, and next thing he knew, he was in handcuffs. Trump is now saying that the pool will likely have to be drained again to carry out more repairs. But time is ticking to the 4th of July, and by then, it's anyone's guess how blue the water will look.
So there you go, folks. Now I never need to cover it again. You are all caught up on the reflecting pool drama. And now we can move on. But I'm telling you, there is something there. There's something to it. There's something to the fact that you actually have people being arrested because they feel instinctively driven to destroy things that might make Trump look like he's succeeding. Truly. Truly bizarre, inexplicable even. And now we're moving on. We're going to completely move on and hopefully, like I said, never, ever, ever talk about it again. We have a lot of other stuff to talk about, of course, including the huge decisions from the Supreme Court today. Saying the obvious, you know, it's a cause for celebration when the just prima facie, just on the face of it, obvious interpretation of law is in fact codified and affirmed by the highest court in the land. It is cause for jubilation. We're celebrating this like somebody, you know, starving in the desert would celebrate a spring. Like this is a brilliant and amazing thing in this world when literally the most obvious interpretation of very simple laws. We have to go through years upon years upon years of leftists pretending to misinterpret it, stretching the bounds of definitions of words to their breaking point and then breaking them. And then we have to sue, and then we finally get it up through the court system all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court is just like, yeah, the law says no. The answer is no. Thank God. Thank goodness. Oh, my gosh. What would we do without these sages to inform us? You know, stuff like this from Justice Thomas, quote, aliens have no equal protection rights against the federal government. Why would they? Who ever thought that they did? As Sean Davis notes, this should be baseline position for every single GOP politician and lawyer, and we should tolerate nothing else, nothing less. Why would somebody not from America, who's not a citizen of America, who is in fact a citizen of a different country, why would they enjoy all of the same protections that an American citizen enjoys from our federal government? What is the point of a federal government if it doesn't have benefits to the citizens of that government? What is the point of it? It's just a court for the world to take advantage of? I've said for years, and with every Supreme Court decision becomes more obvious, if you want to run a real, you know, presidential campaign that's effective, how's this for a slogan? Make citizenship mean something again. Make it mean something. To be an American should be a glory. It should be a benefit to the person who's a citizen. It should also come with obligations of citizenship. And it should mean something. It should mean something more than they broke our laws, therefore they're citizens, which is what birthright citizenship now amounts to. And of course, birthright citizenship is another one of these decisions that they haven't actually come out with a conclusion to that too. These decisions make me more hopeful they'll make the right decision when it comes to the 14th Amendment, but it's another one where it's absurd and outrageous and kind of infuriating that it's been, I can't even say misinterpreted, because I don't believe it's misinterpreted. I don't believe you can misinterpret something like this. It's deliberate. It's, what's the word? I don't even know what the word for that is. When you deliberately misinterpret something, I guess a lie. I guess it's just a different form of a lie. But obviously, we've been over this. We don't need to reiterate it. But the 14th Amendment was written during a time when, like, only white Europeans of good character could be citizens. And it was written specifically for people who were born on American soil, but had no other country that they had allegiance to. And in the writing of the 14th Amendment, it says explicitly that this does not mean ministers from other countries, anybody over here as part of official business, or actually anybody who is already under the protection of a different government. So, like, the whole concept of birthright citizenship, it's been so deliberately misunderstood, and that misunderstanding has been so widely spread and accepted by a lot of people. Like, we forget that it's not actually the standard. It was, like, never a thing. It was always who your parents were. My parents are Spanish. Both of my parents are Spanish, and I go somewhere else and they give birth, I would still be Spanish. The child of the Spanish people is a Spanish child. It doesn't matter if they're born in Spain or elsewhere. They're a part of the Spanish nation. So, in the American Wild West, or in the case of newly freed slaves, they were not citizens of any country. So if they had a child there, that child was not automatically the citizen of Mexico like a Mexican is, right? Mexicans who come here can still claim Mexican citizenship. You already have a collective. You already have a government. You already have a power structure who has responsibility for you. This is written in black and white in the 14th. So why for 100 years has this been deliberately misinterpreted? And why is it so difficult to get back to some semblance of just basic understanding of the English language and the laws as they were written? It's infuriating. So Justice Thomas writes this today. I join the opinion of the court in full. I write separately to address two more fundamental problems with the Myatt response respondents' suit. First, their equal protection claim, while meritless under the court's precedents, was also beyond the district court's jurisdiction. Second, even assuming jurisdiction, the equal protection claim fails for the additional reason that aliens have no equal protection rights against the federal government. The sky is blue, water is wet, and other obvious things. Supreme Court ruling blocks thousands of lawsuits against the maker of Roundup Weed Killer. This was not a good decision in my interpretation. So we've got a couple good Supreme Court decisions, a couple bad ones. We'll just run through them and we'll comment on them later. So this is one. Supreme Court ruling blocks thousands of lawsuits against maker of Roundup Weed Killer. Again, not good. We've reported on that extensively with the likes of Tiffany Cianci and others. A major failure of MAHA. Meanwhile, U.S. Supreme Court strikes down Hawaii handgun limits. This is very good. The U.S. Supreme Court struck down on Thursday a Hawaii law restricting the carrying of handguns on private property open to the public, like most businesses, without the owner's permission in the latest ruling by the justices expanding gun rights. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 ruling powered by its conservative judges, found that Hawaii's measure violated the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms. The justices overturned a lower court's decision that Hawaii's Democratic-backed measure likely complied with the Second Amendment. And I believe this is the one, if I'm not mistaken, but we covered this at the time when the Hawaiian court decided that gun ownership was at odds with aloha culture. Y'all remember that? That was the reasoning given. I'm not sure if that was this exact case, if that exact case went up to the Supreme Court or not. But that's the type of crap we're talking about when we're talking about the total collapse of our entire country at the fundamental level. Is you have judges in their black robes with the little wooden hammer, like they're official, they're actual judges, and they're sitting there going, you know, I know what the Constitution says. I know what every lawful precedent in all of history says, but I also have my own interpretation of quote-unquote aloha culture, and this contradicts with my aloha culture, so I'm going to say no. And it's just like, that's, what are you talking about? And why are you not in jail? They should be in jail. These judges should be in jail. And I don't see that here in the Reuters article. But maybe the crew can find that. The aloha exception to gun rights. So again, you know, it's like, okay, thank goodness we have the Supreme Court. And say what you want about Trump, but he did give us some vaguely conservative Supreme Court members that are able to make just basic understand, just like, God, it's just okay. Yeah. Here's the best decision. Here's the good decision. Here's the once again obvious decision that was made. Migrants not entitled to apply for asylum while standing on Mexico's side of the border, Supreme Court rules. Migrants arriving at the U.S.-Mexico border are not entitled to apply for asylum until they set foot in the country, the Supreme Court ruled Thursday. Similarly, they ruled that temporary protective status is in fact temporary. And you know, it's great. But like, what the hell? The law is like, if you're in America, you can claim asylum. And they're like, but what if we're not in America? Then you can't claim asylum. What is complicated about this? There it is. Aloha exception. The spirit of aloha.
Very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July. with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it and taken it out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people, it is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, War Room Live, AlexJonesLive.com. I'm going to remind you once again, you don't have that long to place your orders at thealexjonesstore.com for the merchandise for America's 250th birthday. If you want to get it before July 4th, you're going to want to take advantage of the sale that's on now, thealexjonesstore.com. We have tons of great and the absolute highest quality products. Like, our t-shirts are incredible. I still routinely wear a t-shirt I bought before I even worked here. 10 years ago, I bought it, and I still wear it at least once a week. Never faded, never stretched, never nothing. We bring you the highest quality in every way that we possibly can at thealexjonesstore.com. And, again, I see a lot of places, like, you know, walking around. When I was on vacation in Colorado, we'd go in all these, like, you know, souvenir shops. Every shop had an America 250th anniversary shirt. Not one of them is as cool as the ones we have at thealexjonesstore.com. So we have the best, highest quality apparel. We've got the coolest apparel. We've got the best designs. And best of all, you know that your purchase goes directly towards supporting this outlet, which has fearlessly stood on the hallowed ground, following in the footsteps of our founding fathers since InfoWars was founded 30 years ago. And once again, it has been our guiding light. Like, it's not just a surface level costume for us. It's not a uniform that we wear that we take off when we go home at night. This is in our blood. It's in our bones. It's hard to explain the feeling I get, especially, and I've told the story a million times before, but it's like, just have this distinct memory when I first moved to Austin. I saw a guy standing on the street corner holding a sign that said, "The truth is live," you know, 91.7 or whatever the radio station was that Alex was being broadcast on the time. I remember tuning to that station and specifically hearing Alex talk about the things that I believe it was Barack Obama was doing and threatening Americans with, whether it was gun control or speech control or whatever else. But he just starts ranting and going off about George Washington. And do you think George Washington would stand down to this? Do you think he would surrender and back down? We are not descended from fearful men. And it's just like, you just get this, like, you start feeling like you're vibrating. You're just like, yes, I am the inheritor of the greatest human story of all time. And I have such a powerful legacy to live up to. Other places might sell a t-shirt for the 250th anniversary because it's coming up, because they are, you know, wanting to take advantage of that fact. We genuinely every day wake up with 1776 on our mind. Wake up and read the writings of Thomas Jefferson. Read biographies to our kids of Ben Franklin. And I mean, my kids know more about Andrew Jackson probably than high schoolers do. My son is like obsessed with Andrew Jackson. Now he's on to Daniel Boone. But again, when you support the Alex Jones Network, you are supporting pure Americana. And it's one of the primary reasons why we've been so successful as we are. We don't get distracted by the crap on either side. We have a North Star. We have a touchstone. We have a firmly rooted set of beliefs that has been proven by history and fact to be the most powerful organization of humankind that the world has ever seen. This is who we are. This is what we represent. This is our destiny manifest. So join us in this by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and fighting for everything the founding fathers believed in, everything they left us. And I see people even now saying America is lost. Therefore, 1776 is a distraction or something. 1776, as I've said before, it represents the promise of America. It represents the power and the history of America. It represents our people, what they accomplished, the seemingly impossible, to create the world as we know it, to establish the concept of human rights, rights above and beyond the authority of man. That was us, you guys. That was our family. That was our country. If you can't be proud of that, what? I mean, it's like, no, you're the inheritor of the greatest inheritance the world has ever seen. You should be proud of that. You should embrace that. Yes, we have gone completely off the rails. And yes, in the last, I'd put it at about 80 years, the promise of America, the very idea of America has been hijacked and warped beyond recognition, which is why it's so necessary now to reclaim that history, to reclaim that reality, and to reject the new America that they want us all to believe in, which isn't a thing. It's not a place. It's not a people. It's not even a set of beliefs. It's just, I don't know, a chink in our armor, basically. It's just like weaponizing our own goodness against us. And again, I'll say it once more that maybe the best illustration of this would be the Statue of Liberty. The fact that it was built to be a projection towards Europe. Right? It was the light of liberty shining across the sea from America to inspire, you know, our brothers and cousins in Europe to no longer live under the yoke of peasantry, under the yoke of feudalism. Then they put a plaque on it, which said, actually, America's a melting pot and we're welcoming everybody in from everywhere. And doesn't matter who you are or how capable of you are, whether you like America, America is actually yours. You just haven't gotten here yet. It is a total and complete inversion. So now if you show the Statue of Liberty, people go, oh, you just think America should be overwhelmed by migrants. It's like, I don't go with the reclassification of this stuff. I go for what it originally meant. And the Statue of Liberty was originally a projection out, not a welcoming in. But all of America has been transformed like that. We are not and never were a quote-unquote melting pot, less now than ever before, because the numbers in which people are coming over and settling in groups means they are not even attempting to assimilate and are in fact forcefully reshaping America to be more in line with the countries they came from, or should I say, fled in terror away from. Anyway, getting back to the Supreme Court rulings, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that the Trump administration can, in fact, end temporary protected status for migrants from Haiti and Syria, putting more than 350,000 Haitians and 6,000 Syrians at risk of losing work permits and deportation protections. Once again, if you followed this, you should be aware of how absurd all of this was. Haiti, the so-called refugees, the so-called asylum seekers from Haiti, were given temporary, it's the first word, protective status. Temporary protected status. That is a status of protection that's supposed to be temporary. It had a built-in expiration point. It's basically a function that says, look, we're not going to just let 350,000 Haitians move here, stay here, and live here just because the country that they're supposed to be in charge of has collapsed into a total failed state chaos set where, what was their barbecue? It's run by a criminal gang leader named Barbecue, I believe. At least it was. That was maybe a couple years ago. God only knows what situation it's in now. I think they were eating each other last time I checked, which is a step down from eating mud cookies, but that's where they were before. Regardless, it was never about saying, yeah, let 350,000 Haitians just come here and live here forever, because when they had their own state, it collapsed into just abject terror. It's supposed to be like, hey, crazy stuff's going on in your country. It's being run by a cannibal named Barbecue. So you can stay here for a little bit, weather the storm, get your feet under you, and then you're going back. That's what it's for. That's the reason it exists. It has a built-in expiration point. The Trump administration shouldn't have had to do anything. It was granted by Biden. It expired in whatever it was, 5 years, 10 years. When that 10 years is up, it's supposed to expire. They're all supposed to go home like clockwork. That's the way the law is written. That's the way temporary protected status actually works. A judge came in, a leftist Soros immigrant judge, just decided, actually, you're not allowed to end temporary protected status. It's not like Trump had protected status, tried to end it, and they said, you can't do that. They were promised protected status. You have to keep them. The Trump administration didn't try to end anything early. It just was going to allow it to expire like it was always intended to, like was built in from the beginning. A judge stepped in and said, you're not allowed to have it expire. That's how little sense this makes. So, Like everything we talk about these days, good. I'm glad that the Supreme Court decided that temporary protected status is temporary. What a novel concept. But I'm not like celebrating it, but it's not like a victory. This is common sense. This is basic reality. A victory would be you undo temporary protected status and then you disrobe the judge that said otherwise. Then you disbar and ban from working ever again the lawyers that made the argument to the contrary. That would be a step closer towards something that I could celebrate or go, okay, now we're talking, now we have movement, now we're on the march. This is bare minimum. Bare minimum. This is literally, it never should have been anything other than this. There was never supposed to be a foreign chaos agent judge showing up and deciding the temporary meant forever. So good. I'm glad we're back to just the basic dictionary definition of words. Hallelujah. I can't exactly treat it like some sort of crazy major victory, especially when this is the type of stuff the Supreme Court is deciding. Again, just basic, obvious shouldn't need a court to tell you this ever. And yet, the Democrats are so furious at what the Supreme Court is deciding. We just showed the headline, Daily Mail, called it a white supremacist agenda from the Supreme Court. Why? Because they said the temporary protected status was temporary. That's one thing. Okay, I guess white supremacists understand the definition of words. I'm sure that is in the chart of what makes white culture. I'm sure literacy is on there. How dare us? Supreme Court conservatives accused of advancing white supremacist agenda. Lawmakers and advocates condemn disastrous decisions that allow Trump officials to strip away migrant protections, that allow the temporary migrant protections to expire like they were always intended to do. We gotta do something about this. We gotta do something about, I mean, the fact they're still writing headlines like that. All right, and we'll connect this to everything. Well, let's go to Gavin Newsom now, who will be running for president in 2028. And just like they are promising over and over and over again, they're going to go after Trump supporters. They're going to throw Trump and all of his family in prison. I mean, they're not shy about it. They're not even pretending to predicate this on a unbiased application of law and order. Every Democrat that I can find, from Hakeem Jeffries to James Carville to Gavin Newsom in this clip I'm about to show you, are very open about their willingness to completely upend precedent, to completely ignore constitutional propriety, and to impose their will on the American people by force if they ever get a chance to again. Here's Gavin Newsom, once again, explicitly stating their intention to shatter the constitutional order that we have so that they can force through their utterly illegal agenda without obstruction. Let's watch.
So you're talking about expanding to 13, and it's Supreme interesting. Court. I mean, it is a great historical, and people forget it. Last time it was done again was under Lincoln. There's no constitutional constraints on.
First thing that needs to happen is court reform and court expansion.
Yeah. Look, you're getting me closer to your point of view, and you challenged me. I know we were talking, I was on your pod down in LA a few months ago, and this notion of 13 and then just looking at the district courts as that framework sort of anchor the old school, the ember of a traditional, you know,
for a guy who recognized the urgency of the moment with Prop 50.
Yeah.
And in fact, the only Democratic state to have successfully redrawn its maps ahead of 2026, that is what I think is the natural evolution.
God bless
for somebody
you.
Like you.
I'm with you. I'm done winning arguments. We got to win.
Yeah.
And we got to consolidate power.
We got to consolidate power. Is how he ended that. We have to consolidate power. I'm tired of winning arguments. We have to consolidate power. You can't win arguments, which is why you keep losing in the Supreme Court, which is why you want to pack it. There's no argument to be made about the Supreme Court in terms that actually apply universally as if it's actually a problem. Like, he can't actually make the case that, hey, 9 Supreme Court justices is a problem because Example. There is no problem. It's not a problem. The problem is they're not deciding on the side of the Democrats. The Democrats want to pack the court with their people, so they will just make decisions for them. It's just pure power consolidation, pure power domination. There's no logical reason. There's no humanitarian reason. There's no real reason. The real reason is we need to pack it with people who will support what we say, so we can do the things that this Supreme Court won't let us do because they're not constitutional. They're packing the court in order to violate the Constitution. They want to violate the Constitution so they can pass speech laws and gun confiscation, so they can weaken you and make you incapable of fighting back against them effectively. It's not sophisticated. It's not complicated. It's not predicated on democracy or their belief that the Supreme Court is a genuine threat to anyone's freedom. They just want to dominate you. And the Supreme Court at this point is a barrier to that. So take out the Supreme Court, open up the pathway to attack the regular American people with the costume of law, under the guise of law. When in reality, it will, of course, be an abject violation of the Constitution. They'll just pack the Supreme Court with people who don't care about the Constitution. People like the 3 Supreme Court justices who were wrong on every one of these decisions. Now, the reality is this court system is utterly messed up. It is entirely slated or weighted in the favor of the Democrats, For example, you can look at basically every decision made by the judiciary this entire administration, which is no small thing. It is in no small part one of the primary reasons why Trump has not been able to achieve his goals. Now, in the end of the day, that is Trump's fault. He could choose not to listen to the judges. He could choose to impeach the judges, get the Congress to make this a top priority. That, of course, is what the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, did and says over and over, this is the key. If you can't get rid of the judges, you can't do anything else. Oh, you want to deport people? Well, every aspect of the deportation program is going to come under review by leftist activists in a judge robe, many of them not even American, who do not even pretend to predicate their decisions on the basis of pre-existing law, precedent, the Constitution, or anything valid, but instead on their own interpretation of the modern liberal worldview that they just impose on everybody else and act like it's normal and universal. We have to get rid of them. We have to get rid of these judges. We have to stop them from interfering with Trump administration. And Trump is the only one who can do that. The Trump administration and the Republicans in Congress are the only ones who can do that. And that's the problem here, is these people making these decisions and everybody else having to adhere to them. And once again, we could go over all of the various judges that are making these decisions in their particular histories. Time and time again, you find many of them are not even lawyers, have never been practicing law in any official capacity. Many of them are straight up foreigners who come here to our country, immediately get jobs and are brought in by and are given visas because they work with immigration NGOs. So they're foreigners who come here to open our border, to argue for the foreigners that are here so they can take more advantage of us and live here against the law. They work at an NGO being paid to subvert our laws for a couple years. And then Barack Obama or Joe Biden slaps them in judge robes and suddenly they're making decisions that alter the course of the United States for all of time and obstruct the policies of the president of the United States that we all voted for. This is so, it's just like everything else. It's so unbelievably simple. It is not difficult or complicated or confusing in the slightest. Like we went over yesterday, they brought in tens of millions of people knowing that they could destroy our ability to keep them out. That even the most lawful, things like temporary protected status, we shouldn't have even had to worry about that. Oh, there's 300,000 Haitians eating the cats and dogs and geese in Ohio. Well, good news is there's a time limit on their existence here. When that runs out, they leave and we shouldn't, there should be nothing we even had to do. It was supposed to expire. A judge on her own volition and in coordination with the NGOs that are funded by millions of dollars by the left-wing power brokers who hire lawyers for these immigrants who shouldn't even have protection under our law. But we, you know, it's just like law. It's like misinterpretation upon misinterpretation. So we give them due process. They hire lawyers with millions of dollars from either our tax money or leftist donators. They argue against this. They take it all the way up to the Supreme Court. And finally, the Supreme Court says, okay, yes, you actually can deport these people. It never should have been an issue. The instant a judge injected themselves, like, did we not have a decision about judges, district judges' ability to block nationwide executive orders? This is what I mean. Like, this is the thing that drives you insane. And it reminds me of what I was just watching, the clip that we were talking about yesterday with Brexit, where it's like you go through all of this work, you do all of this stuff, you get it passed, and then it just never is implemented. It's kind of the same thing with the Supreme Court, where we take it all the way up to the Supreme Court, you fight and battle and win and win and win and win. You finally get up to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decides in your favor, and then nothing changes, and then there's no enforcement. It's utterly infuriating. So there was already a decision that these district judges could not do injunctions against decisions Trump made for the entire nation, but they do anyway. And so it's like the Supreme Court decision didn't matter, or the Supreme Court decision about DEI and how that could be made illegal. That, of course, passed. They said, yes, you can force institutions that take federal money to no longer have DEI programs. But guess what? They all still exist. All the DEI programs still exist. They all are still operating. Nothing has changed. Nothing has happened. Let's go to clip number 32 here. Texas Christian University professor admits they aren't just continuing to do DEI. They're growing it. It's expanded. So this whole concept that Trump won and we defeated DEI and they're not allowed to do it, it's an illusion. It never happened. The law is they're not allowed to do it, but you have to enforce that law. If they keep doing it, nothing happens to them. It's legal. That's the way the world works. So here's the professor from Texas Christian University bragging about the fact that they are completely ignoring the law of the land and nothing is ever going to be done about it. Let's watch.
If anything,
we're only growing our curriculum related to DEI, she says. We are more intentional about being more intentional about being race conscious. If a white scholar is doing research, she says, how does it impact the findings? Accuracy in Media is the outlet that came out this. Aisha John is a associate professor of social work at Texas Christian University.
At the university level, a couple of things have just disappeared. We haven't received any messages from the university asking us to curate our curriculum.
Okay.
So for us, it's just been pretty much business as usual. We are still teaching what we were teaching pre-election.
Okay.
We talk about gender issues and pretty much all DEI related issues. We still offer a class on diversity and social justice.
Okay.
We haven't been asked to change the name. And really, there has been zero messaging from the university leadership about whether we need to make any changes.
Okay.
Or, yeah, there's just been nothing.
Though Texas Christian University is private, one might be surprised to learn about the rejection of their founding Christian principles. All right, we can take it down. But again, all over the country, it's this way. It's supposed to be illegal. It was, decided by the Supreme Court that this was the case. And they just ignore it. They just don't care. Nobody punishes them. They don't care enough about the rule of law or America or anything to actually adhere to this without punishment, right? These are like not conscious beings. Like you have to punish them or else they don't understand that they've done something wrong. I mean, literally that's the mindset. Like literally, how could this be wrong? I'm winning. How could what I did be wrong? I succeeded in it and nobody hurt me. So I must be right. Ruthless application of the law will save this country. We just have to actually do it for once. I'm going to show you a clip from Nick Fuentes on the other side. Stay tuned.
Have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 Years Strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyrannies in 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You're going to promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
My sneaking suspicion about what is happening in New York and everything is I really feel like Trump is ruining it's he's ruining it for all of us. What you need to understand, and this is just the unfortunate reality, it's not fair and it sucks, but Trump is the ship, okay? He is the ark. He's Noah's ark. The world is about to flood with third world refuse. The world is about to flood with socialists and communists and third world garbage and filth of every stripe. And Trump, as much as we don't like him anymore, as much as we don't agree with him and everything that he is and everything that's been said, he is like the ark. And two by two, every animal, every right winger, every species of the right is going to be on the ark. If Trump goes down, we all go down. And we all drown, flood. And that's exactly what's happening. Trump is failing. He's bringing all of us down with him. We are all being dragged straight to hell with Trump. The Trump movement is cresting. It's on its way out. It's nearly over. It is exhausted. It has been killed by this war, by the Epstein files, all of its hypocrisy, all of its betrayals. And consequently, it has lost the will and the mandate of the people. And so no one is interested. No one is excited. No one likes it anymore. It's just run out of steam. And so with the Trump movement goes the entire right wing. There's going to be no unity, no vision, no direction, no stick togetherness. And not only is Trump failing all of us and bringing the right down with him, creating all this division and chaos and just a general demoralization, loss of a will to go on. But what's more, he is empowering the left. And not to mix metaphors, but he is supercharging the pendulum. Every one of these half-measures, broken promises, all it is doing is charging up the potential energy of this pendulum, which is going to shoot back in the other direction, like an RPG, like a bazooka, and blow all of our heads off and destroy everything. Every time Trump promises mass deportations and does a half measure and doesn't deliver and just pisses everybody off. Every time he threatens indictments of his political enemies and does a half measure and doesn't actually deliver. All this is doing is storing up this potential energy, pissing off the shock troops, the protesters, the activists, the elites, the billionaires, the radical left, the DSA. And all that's going to do is you're already seeing it in New York City. First with Zohran, now with the DSA, with Hassan Piker. They're just charging up left-wing economic populism. All these issues that have been neglected, like housing and healthcare and cost of living and the rest of it, it's all getting charged up. And mark my words, in 2028, it's going to be brutal, brutal. And we are left up a creek without a paddle. No arc, no vision, no leadership, no organization, division between Vance and Rubio, the Tucker camp and the Levin camp. And we're going to be staving off this challenge from these other people. And all they have in common is pure resentment against everything that is good and competent and successful and patriotic. Pure resentment against Christians, against whites, against Americans, against the rich, against industry. And it's just going to be this tidal wave. Look at Zohran Mamdani's New York. It's a drag queen situation in the New York City governor's mansion or the city hall. It's the taxing the white neighborhoods to give to the black people. It's the... Just,
happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A lot still to cover this hour, and then I plan on opening up the phone lines in the third hour, something we haven't done in a while. I kind of fell out of the habit. The new studio, we had some troubles with the phone lines early on, but we're going to get back in that habit since it is one of the unique aspects of our broadcast, the fact that we may say some pretty out there things, but then we immediately open up the phone lines for phone calls. So if you disagree with us, if you think what we said is wrong, give us a call. We'll humiliate you free of charge. It's great. It's wonderful. It's fun. We'll do that in the next hour. We'll move on from the Supreme Court, even though we could spend the whole dang time on it. But yeah, it's great. It's great. It's great. It's like, yeah, the law says, you know, you gotta be in America before you can claim asylum. And the Democrats are just like, great. So if they're in Mexico, they claim asylum. It's like, no, that's not what the law says. They're like, no, it's probably fine though, right? But it's probably fine. But we're just going to do that anyway. Tell you what, we'll do that for about 4 years or so. We'll in fact make an app. We'll make an app that migrants can download on their phone, and then they can claim asylum with the click of a button in Mexico, and then we can import them in an orderly fashion here. And it's just like, what are you why are you allowed to do this? Why are they allowed to do this? Remember time and time again, they'd be like, there's an emergency at the border. We need this extra money. We need to do this stuff to deal with the emergency at the border. And time again, it was like, you understand what they mean by emergency at the border. They mean people aren't being let in fast enough. And to deal with the emergency at the border, they're making apps so that they don't have to wait at the border anymore. They can literally be put on a plane in Guatemala and shipped to Philadelphia, hit the I'm an asylum seeker button on their phone, and now they're here for life. Now they're getting every benefit of being an American citizen, having never paid into it. They can take an American's job with the help of the corporations setting up entire lawyer networks so that they can live here forever and take advantage of us forever. All right, so we'll move on. So we'll move on from the Supreme Court, I guess. There's been a bunch of other stuff going on in Washington, D.C., with a lot of hearings, of course, many of them descending into chaos and insanity when the Democrats feel as though they've been slightly disrespected. Let's go to clip number two here. This is DHS Secretary Mullen, who pummels a purple-haired Democrat, Representative DeLauro, who, by the way, is like 80-something. So this woman you're about to see screeching at Secretary Mullen is like 80-something years old. She looks like a bad Pokemon cosplay, and she gets really mad if you interrupt her while she's in the middle of doing her favorite thing, lying. Let's watch.
3,900 children were separated from their families.
450,000 kids were lost during the Biden administration.
Secretary,
you didn't say a word
Mr.
about
Secretary,
it.
Mr. Secretary, do not interrupt.
Don't you point your finger at me. Don't
I
be
will
a hypocrite.
Point my finger at you.
Don't you be a hypocrite
you.
Then. Then you, be a threat, you, know, you
kids,
should be as upset about the 450,000 kids that were lost. You didn't say a word about it.
Mr.
For 4 years, you never said a word.
Mr. Secretary.
Could you put him in his place for
don't yell at
you
me.
Should
I'm
be
the
put
good.
In your place.
Ah, the government. Ah, the sacred halls of our democracy. Mullen confronts DeLauro at hearing, you should be put in your place. But that, you know, there is just something visceral about this. Like, she's lying through her teeth. And he just corrects her, and she's like, how dare you? How dare you interrupt me? Put him in his place. I'm lying here. Don't you understand? Let's go to clip five here. This is Brandon Gill asking the FRAC's director if SNAP policy, and that is the food stamp program, should be able to be used to buy snacks from Frito-Lay. Let's watch.
Should SNAP dollars be spent on sodas?
The purpose of the SNAP program is to provide families to have food and beverages.
Should it be spent on sugary sodas?
I am happy to talk about hunger and nutrition, but not dictate what Americans should or should not eat or may have access to.
I'm asking if tax dollars should be used to pay for sodas.
Taxpayers' money should be utilized to ensure that individuals have access to the food that they need to survive or may be accessible to them.
Do they need sugary sodas to survive?
Some of them do, who do have low blood issues, who may have kidney issues.
You think they need Coca-Cola to survive? Do you think that's the most appropriate use of our tax dollars?
I am not a physician, but medical records and expertise
you were just citing the health needs, apparently, of the American people. So do the American people need Coca-Cola to survive?
I did not say that. I said then.
I'm asking you. I'm giving you the opportunity to say yes or no.
I will not answer for individuals and their choices.
You think that there are some Americans who need Coca-Cola to survive? Is that your testimony?
I am happy to talk about the food and
you
nutrition
you just needs don't know.
That individuals have.
You just don't know. I think most people can rationally say that you don't need Coca-Cola to survive. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree that we have a hunger crisis and that we need to address it, but ensuring that individuals have the food resource that they need.
Got it. And one of those is sugary Coca-Cola. What does SNAP stand for?
It's a supplemental nutrition assistance program.
What's nutritional about Coca-Cola?
I am not a nutritionist. I am a food security expert in ensuring that individuals have the food resources that they need.
This is a common sense question. All of these have been common sense questions. I'm just asking you, is there nutritional value to sugary sodas? It's a yes or no question.
I am not an expert. I would have to look at the dietary
guidelines. I'm not an expert. I don't think that there's nutritional value to sugary sodas. I think most people in this room would agree with that assessment. But you have no opinion?
I'm here to talk about the food needs and the hunger crisis that individuals here in America are facing.
Are you that ideologically dug in that you want our tax dollars paying for sugary sodas that you will not, in a straightforward way, admit that sugary sodas are not healthful for the American people?
I think that focusing on soda when people are going hungry.
We spend a lot of our tax dollars are spent on soda. That's why I'm asking about it. You appear to be so ideologically dug in that you won't answer a simple question that's not an appropriate use of our tax dollars and that does not, in fact, make the American people more healthy.
I won't answer because there's no data sort of proving that.
There's
Do you need data to determine whether drinking soda is healthy?
I think
I'm sorry. It's a serious question. Do you believe that perhaps drinking sodas every day is healthy?
The worst health outcome is hunger. When the individuals don't have the resources.
Do you satiate hunger with Coca-Cola?
I did not say that.
But you said that the worst health outcome is hunger, and I'm asking you about sugary sodas.
And I'm focusing on the nutrition needs and making sure that children have the resources.
Is your organization funded by soft drink makers?
I am not in charge of development, but no.
It's not. Okay. Is your organization funded by organizations that make money from food stamps? Organizations who profit off of food stamps fund your organization or businesses?
I mean, I can't comment to that. Happy to talk about the resources that need it.
Does General Mills fund your organization?
Got her.
I don't have access to that information.
I do. It's right here. They do fund your organization. Do they profit off of food stamps?
Retailers are the major beneficiaries.
You think that that's a conflict of interest?
That's where EBT dollars are utilized.
Yes, and they're profiting off of your advocacy.
Which is why they're trying to keep the money flowing.
You think that that's a conflict of interest?
The answer is yes. She's not answering.
Most people think that's a conflict of interest. I know you don't want to answer.
Wow, another masterclass. I got to say, every video I've seen from Gill, Representative Gill, is amazing. I think you could have even, you know, gone a little farther with that, because logically, even what she's saying is not an appropriate response. I mean, Coca-Cola, any soft drink, is hugely expensive compared to like what you're actually getting from nutritional elements, right? So like, even if she's like, hunger's the most important, to me, the obvious argument would be, okay, if hunger is such a big issue, apparently there are people starving in America. I've never seen them. Doesn't actually exist. But if their entire purpose of being is predicated on this non-existent threat of starvation in the United States of America, then wouldn't you say, well, for every dollar we spend on something like Coca-Cola, we could be getting $10 worth of wheat that they could eat to actually survive, right? You know, Coca-Cola itself marked up something like 5,000%. I can't remember the numbers exactly, but I looked it up during a big trial that was going on, because there was this supplement company that was selling fantastic products to their glorious customers, and certain lawyers were very questioning about, well, do you mark up stuff 50%? Do you really need to make – at the time, I was like, well, what? That's like the lowest markup ever. The amount it costs to make a can of Coke is like 3 cents or something. I mean, it's like nothing. It's incredibly cheap to make Coca-Cola. So if it I think maybe the actual number was like 5 cents, and then it sells for like $3.50 or something. So, you know, it takes 5 cents to make, but they sell it for $3.50. So it's like 95% markup or something ridiculous. Is that where our money should be going? Should our money be funneled to General Mills and the Coca-Cola Corporation and Frito-Lay? Is that who should be benefiting from our welfare programs? Because that's who benefits. Who do you think is lobbying for this? Do you think that there are a lot of welfare recipients that are paying lobbyists in Washington, D.C., to guarantee that they get their grape soda every month? No, it's General Mills. It's the Coca-Cola Company. They have lobbyists on Capitol Hill, because think about the investment. You pay a lobbyist $1 million. He spends half of that $1 million taking people out to lunch, talking to them about how wonderful it is that our great American welfare system allows people to give themselves diabetes. Isn't that wonderful? They convince somebody, hey, you know, they should be able to buy things. And again, we can even get into, but let me continue. They spend $1 million on this. The government turns around and approves $4 billion of SNAP aid. 50% of it goes directly into their pockets, goes directly into the pockets of whoever hired the lobbyist, the soft drink companies, the snack companies. Trump administration cannot block SNAP recipients in 5 states from buying soda and candy, judge rules. But why not? And then you think about like what this really is and what really an opportunity it is. Okay, so the markup for Coca-Cola is 9,900%. 9,900%. I would bring that up. And I'd say, should we really be paying the Coca-Cola Company 99% of the welfare money because people are buying soda when they could get something other than soda. They could just drink water. If it's about survival, if it's about starvation, I would pursue that tack. And I'd say, if that's what you're really concerned about, then you should be the one arguing against Coca-Cola and Frito-Lay and all these others, because what you're doing is taking this limited amount of resources that we have and you're squandering a huge amount of it on things that you're paying, you know, very high prices for compared to simple sustaining nutrients, like cereals or, you know, wheat and bread and butter and things that would actually keep people alive. Then you can think, okay, if we did that instead, what would that do to the economy? What if instead of taking billions upon billions of dollars from hardworking taxpayers, giving it to people who don't work hard or pay taxes, letting those people then funnel that money into Frito-Lay and Coca-Cola, and they're all owned by BlackRock and J&J, or, you know, whoever the other monopolistic conglomerates are. So, in effect, you know, you do it through the poor people, you're making them unhealthy, you know, maybe that benefits Big Pharma a little bit, but regardless, functionally, what you're doing is taking billions of dollars from hardworking people and just forcing it into the coffers of these big industries who should, under normal capitalism, have to actually, you know, compete for people's money, not just bribe the government to put them on the food stamp program so they can siphon away a huge amount of money for their own profit. So what if instead those billions upon billions of dollars were forced to be spent on local farmers? What if instead there's a, you know, major subsidy given to local farmers with local produce and local nutrients so you can actually build up the local community and industry there, rather than have it all go into the C-suite executives of Coca-Cola and they continue to operate their factories in China and Indonesia and anywhere that's not America? What if we actually used the government programs not just to benefit the people who are recipients of it, but use it to shape our society and our culture in a way that benefits America itself and not our corporate exploiters? What if, you know, what if we had a system that actually prioritized corporations and organizations that were healthy for us as a nation? They don't want to, or rather they're bribed not to, and so they don't, and so the bribery continues, the feedback loop extends. Every $1 billion they get from SNAP, they put a little bit of that to the side to lobby for even more access. And the funny thing is, I actually had this argument with somebody probably 20 years ago. I was like in high school and I was arguing with my friend's dad, because he thought it was wrong that the government, and it was a libertarian perspective he was taking. He was going, you know, I don't like that the government gives people money, but if we have a program where the government gives people money, it's their money and they should be able to spend it on what they want. You know, the government shouldn't then have an extra right to come dictate to you. And my position is, yes, they do. No, they do have that. I mean, if the whole point of giving people money or giving people welfare benefits is to keep them alive, is to give them sustenance so they don't starve, then that's what it should do. You don't just give people money and say, well, this is so you don't starve, and then let them spend it on flashy cars or whatever else. But that's what happens to a absolutely massive, massive degree. So again, this is just a giant swindle. And I mean, the best part of that video was him asking if her corporation is sponsored by people who make money off this. And once again, I mean, we talked about this a while ago because it kept happening, where you would ask a leftist question, they would just freeze. They just don't answer. They have nothing to say. They just sit there like they don't even hear it. It's like, hello? I asked you a question. And the silence is affirmative. The silence tells us we know exactly what the answer to the question is, and they do too, and they're mad that you expose them for it. But there would actually be a way to argue against, you know, you could say like, well, look, this would be another burden of the government to have to do. And, you know, I mean, there are ways to make this argument. She has no way to make this argument because in reality, she is motivated by a very, you know, base form of greed. It's not sophisticated for her. They just want to be able to get money from the government. Like, it's really not that complicated. You go lobby, talk about how important it is that, you know, people have Coca-Cola because otherwise they'd starve. And then we'll funnel billions of dollars into our coffers and go hang out on the yacht for a while. And she's just like, okay, great. If you actually have sophisticated understanding, you could make an argument on the basis of liberty. You could make the argument, you know, you could appeal to sort of a humanitarian argument and go look, most of the money is spent on crucial necessities, but we think it's fine if people, you know, want to spend some of their precious EBT money on some that they think tastes good. You know, who are we to try to deprive them of the little joy in their life? Like, there are ways. I don't even agree with that, but like, I could argue this better than her. So at the end of the day, really, this is all just a big competency crisis because we have a bunch of dumbass losers running everything. So you're going to run into problems with that. You're going to run into problems when that's the situation, and it is certainly the overwhelming situation absolutely everywhere in this country. And I believe I actually had another video from that same questioning, because this is pretty well known to the Republican Party. Like, this is the way it works. This is why, you know, they're so desperate to, you know, bring all this up. We'll go to the other video from Mullen here in just a second, but let's go to clip number 20 here. This is what I was talking about. This is Representative Brian Jacks talking about the real places that our American taxpayer money is going, ostensibly, theoretically, and by law, it's going to keep starving people from dying. Where is it actually going? Let's go to clip number 20 here, Representative Brian Jack. Let's watch.
And specifically, I just want to note from the report, in 2023 alone, food stamp enrollees in one state own more than 14,000 luxury vehicles. And among those, you had 3 Ferraris, 11 Lamborghinis, 59 Maseratis, and thousands of other luxury vehicles. The supposed goal of the SNAP program, of course, has been litigated today, but what was revealed in this report seems to be the program's reality. Help this committee and the constituents back home understand, how does a program dedicated to feeding low-income families end up subsidizing Lamborghinis and Bentleys?
People make false statements on applications.
People make false statements on applications. Well, it's like Ilhan Omar said, you know, when she was asked about the billions of dollars stolen by the Somali community, she basically said, it's your fault for not having guardrails. Sorry, she literally said, it's because you don't have guardrails. It's your fault that we stole from you. You didn't put bars on your window. What are we supposed to do? Not break in? What are we supposed to do? Not lie? You don't even check. Again, another just really kind of perfect example of the vulnerabilities of the American system. Just not being up to snuff, not being up to par. Like, it can't, our system is incapable of having the security necessary when people like this live here. People lie on their applications. Yeah, I imagine so. Do you have any function to disallow that? Do you have any punishment mechanism for people who do that? Because that's theft. That's just obviously theft. Now, you can be charged with theft for, like, walking out of a store with a candy bar. It's theft. What happens when you're stealing thousands of dollars a month for years on end because you're applying for welfare, lying about your income, and nobody checks it, and they're cutting you checks? I mean, all of these people should probably be in prison. I'd heard a while ago, I thought, that the Trump administration came up with this brilliant, very simple idea, because there are all these dead people and all these people with Maseratis and Ferraris and everything else claiming to require welfare. The idea was, why don't we kick everybody off SNAP and everybody has to reapply? That would be a great thing. Why doesn't that happen? Why isn't that happening? And why aren't there any checks whatsoever to confirm that the people claiming they need government help actually require government? Why is our entire government just a giant leaky sieve of American money for dishonest people? It's like every day we get to hear more examples of, like, oh, there's this system with billions of dollars available, but in order to access it, all you had to do was be dishonest. You had to just lie. You had to scam. You had to just, like, write a paper. I did medical service, $1 million, please. And the government's just like, here you go. Thank you for your service, sir. It's all retarded.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple at theoliveshowstore.com. You back us. You fund us. You are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at theoliveshowstore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gates at theyellowstonestore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at theyellowstonestore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, the 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today and also buy gifts for friends and family and know you're funding the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating, level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's ahead of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity fed, water filtration, and it makes this operation possible. Multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals at non-detectable levels. The atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one. Destroying Tyranny, 1776, Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 free. Defund the deep state. That's all their designs. America, ride fast, live free. They designed that. Ball caps as well. All limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. Wonder what to cover here in this last segment before we start taking calls. We're going to take calls in the next hour. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, not just to get the incredible merchandise we have on sale for America's 250th birthday. And I believe you have about 3 days to order to make sure it arrives. So make sure to place your order soon. The collection is 30% off right now. But of course, in addition to that, we have incredible products like the, well, methylene blue tincture and T3 trifecta iodine tincture. We also have ultimate power. That's back in stock right now. Ultra methylene red is 50% off. Another one of my favorites, really, whether you combine it with ultra methylene blue or not. It's a fantastic product. We have all sorts of wonderful things at thealexjonesstore.com. I've started taking the colostrum capsules, which I think we're selling at the store. I don't know. Sometimes we get products early and I'm like trying and I'm like, I can't wait to sell these colostrum capsules. And they're like, well, they're not on the store yet. I think they are on the store. But you know, just like, you know, we aren't going to tell you stuff we don't believe. We also don't sell you things we don't take ourselves. And just about everybody who works here is on a regular regimen of Alex Jones Store products, rather, thealexjonesstore.com. And I'm no different. Ultimate Power, Energy and Focus, the energy drink mix, is now back in stock and better than ever. And, you know, I've got a bunch of videos to play this segment. I don't know how I'm going to be able to connect them so well, but I think they're very good, and I think they'll give you a good idea of what we're dealing with. And you can support our mission to reclaim our nation, our world, our heritage, our way of life, our belief system from the clutches of the insane by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. It's one tangible, real thing you can do to try to defeat this senseless, mindless, for lack of a better term, retardation that we are settled with constantly everywhere. I say that advisedly. I say that quite literally. Because you got things like this. Miami mom who drowned her daughter during COVID-induced psychosis found not guilty by reason of insanity, saying she didn't understand the nature or consequences of her action when she allegedly killed her daughter. Bland had waived her right to a jury trial, and a bench trial was held instead, with Judge De La O acquitting her of multiple criminal charges. How can this be the way this goes? She did do the thing, which I mean, in my interpretation, that is the definition of the word guilty. She is guilty. You can say guilty by reason of insanity. What is not guilty by reason of insanity? How did that become a thing? I mean, you can say they don't understand the consequences of their action. They're mentally incompetent. Therefore, it would kind of be cruel to treat them like a real human being. But then they have to just be put away forever or executed. That's got to be the outcome here. Because what I feel like is happening, and it's the same thing that happened with Irina Zarutska. It's the same thing that happened to all these people. Like Irina Zarutska's killer, probably very similar to this, where it's like there was nothing insane about what he did. And he was surrounded by black people for a while, didn't stab any of them. When the white woman came on, he deliberately slit her throat, walked around saying, "I got that white girl." No, there's nothing insane about that. So it wasn't just madness. He wasn't like thinking he was surrounded by monsters and stabbing everybody and fighting them off. There's one person he wanted to kill. He killed her. But then it's almost like the crime itself is evidence of insanity, because who would do that? It's so insane. Who would drown their baby in a bathtub? They must be crazy. Only an insane person would do that. Who would just kill a random person for no reason? They must be crazy. So it's almost like the crime itself, if it's violent enough, if it's senseless enough, it's like they use that to determine the insanity. So what does insanity mean? And how is not guilty the decision? Luckily, it appears as though DeSantis and other Republicans in Florida are going to try to impeach this judge because of this decision. Bland, the murderer, will undergo an assessment hearing on a later date, at which Judge De La O will determine if she needs commitment or additional mental health treatment. But shouldn't that already be established by the fact that you said she's not guilty because she's insane? Shouldn't this actually read to determine what the conditions of her confinement are? What the necessary requirements to be tried again at a later date when she's deemed sane? This is phrased as if she might not actually be sentenced to any stay in a hospital or additional mental health treatment. He's determining whether or not, well, tell you what, she killed a child. You said she killed the child because she's so insane she doesn't understand that killing her own child is a bad thing. Stabbing her husband and her other daughter, not good thing. She's so insane she doesn't understand the most fundamental instinct human beings have, mothers protecting their children. She's so insane she killed her own child by drowning it in a bathtub, but she might not be insane enough to have to get treatment for it. Is that the way our law works? I guess so. So, I mean, I'm sorry, no offense to those out there with
perhaps family members with Down syndrome or something else, but this is retarded, and that's the only word I can use for it. Sorry. Sorry, but like that, if you want, you know, you look around the world, everything is chaos, everything is misery, everything is getting worse at an expedited fashion. The only thing you can point to is the sheer, unrelenting retardation that our country is suffering under. The judges are retarded. The lawyers are retarded. The politicians are retarded. The Supreme Court has three retarded members on it. That's the problem. That's the issue. Of course, maybe you could also charge like Anthony Fauci with this as well, because apparently the story is that she thought COVID was going to kill everybody and that Jesus was going to come. And so she's like, Jesus told me to baptize my children, so I drowned them in the bath. And it's just like, okay. She needs to be taken out behind the shed like old Yeller. Right? Right? Am I wrong? She can make all the excuses she wants, you know? Just like, oh, really? Oh, Jesus Christ did, huh? Did he? Turn around for me, would you? Like, that's just how this needs to be dealt with. What are we doing here? Why are we wasting resources on this? Why is this person a judge? What are we doing? What are we doing? We're being retarded. That's what we're doing. Sorry. I apologize for the language, but there's worse things than the language, aren't there? There are a lot worse things than the language. Let's go now to clip 27. Well, we'll just take a little humor break, a little lightheartedness to follow up the insane baby killer. Tim Dillon, openly gay comedian, has some issues with the effectiveness of the pride branding on things like sports, national sports. He was on Joe Rogan. And, yeah, again, yeah, it's like, it really is like all of this stuff. Like everything. In a lot of ways, it's everything the left believes. But like, everything they do has the opposite effect than they say. Like, pretty much everything. It's hard to come up with something where you, if you divide it by the right-left paradigm, everything gets worse under the left, and every time they try to do something, it backfires enormously. And so it's kind of like, how did it get that way? And how does it stay that way? How are people stuck in this? And again, I can think, I mean, literally anything, and maybe left-right isn't even the right paradigm to explore here, because, you know, I think back to the boomer debate that we did, where you've got boomers who just hate Islam with a passion, think Islam is taking over Europe. And you go, okay, but the reason Islam is taking over Europe, which I agree they are, I agree it's a bad thing, and I agree we should try to stop it. Do you understand that our war against people like, say, Muammar Gaddafi was counterproductive to that goal? If your goal is to stop Islam taking over Europe, what happens if I point to one of the main instances that most caused that development? Isn't that a bad thing? And they're just like, nope, it was a good thing, actually. It's like, but what? So what is your goal? What is your goal? What are you actually trying to do? Because if you actually wanted to fight Islamic takeover of Europe, you would oppose Israel with everything you've got. You would oppose wars of choice in the Middle East with everything you've got, because that is the number one driver of Islamic immigration into Europe. But you define yourself. Your entire worldview is based on fighting back against Islamic takeover, and yet you support the very things that cause it. And then when you get to Pride Night, crap like this, what is your goal? Is the goal to normalize homosexuality? Because it's normal. That's done. That happened a long time ago. Is your goal to get people to embrace homosexuality and celebrate it? Well, don't shove it down people's throats. Don't force people, don't punish people for refusing to go along with it. So it's like, what is your goal? If your goal is to make homosexuality just another sexuality and it's not discriminated against, and then fine, then you succeeded. Then you're done. Then you can stop now. But you keep going. So what is your actual goal? Doesn't make any sense. What is the goal of feminism? Is it to make women more happy? Because it's done the opposite. What is the goal of the homelessness campaign in California? Was it to end homelessness? That's what they kept saying it was. It doubled homelessness. So why do they keep doing it? Why is absolutely everything that half this country pursues diametrically opposed to their stated desires? Why? What the hell is wrong with literally everyone? Oh, we need to build up the pension system. So we brought in a bunch of migrants. Then none of them got jobs and they all went on welfare. Okay, so what is your actual goal? Everything is like this. Everything. Here's Tim Dillon on Joe Rogan talking about it.
Everyone I grew up with and the generation directly under me, they're all institutionalists. They believe very strongly that knowledge is given through an approved, whether you're at NYU or whether it's the State Department or whether it's a board or whether it's a nonprofit that commissioned a study that proved the thing. A lot of these kids do not think for themselves. And they're not kids. They're in their 30s, by the way. And they're in their 30s or 40s. They don't think for themselves. They've been taught that thinking for themselves is bad. It's racist. Or it can lead you down a road that you don't want to go on. It's it's misogynist. It's homophobic. Like, whatever questions you're asking, like, why do the Padres have to wear gay uniforms? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, as a gay person, I never said why I need the Padres to be gay. Why are the Padres gay?
What does the Padres uniform look like?
They're making them wear, like, gay things on the uniform.
Like pride stuff?
It's like pride stuff. I don't think it's like a dildo on their head, but I think it's like pride stuff.
What happens when they play in Dearborn?
It's not gonna go well, but it's like, why is Citibank gay? Why is Chase gay? What is it? Why does this help anyone that a corporation is trans? Why is Chobani Yogurt trans? What's the point of this? I don't understand. Does this get people health care? Does this make people happy? Does this satisfy?
It makes some people happy.
It makes some people happy that I worry about because I just don't understand. And it makes more people angry. And that's why gay marriage has lost 11 points in support. More people are annoyed. They're like, we're all cool with however people want to live their lives. Most people are. But they're like, why is my bank gay? When did my bank come out as gay? And like, I'm okay with it, but could somebody have told me, like, what are we doing? This doesn't make anybody's life better. It is doing the exact opposite of what they want. They think it increases acceptance. It decreases it because you're shoving a worldview down someone's throat.
It's a humiliation ritual. It's a deliberate cultural subversion. It's designed to increase friction overall. It's designed to destroy the underlying foundation of our culture by going after, again, just sort of the fundamental reality of life. Why are trans people so obsessed with children? Like, why is the trans flag baby blue and light pink? The color of that denotes childcare, the color you paint nurseries. Because they're anti-human, because they're at odds with and at war with God. Why do they use the rainbow flag as a symbol of homosexuality? Could it have anything to do with Christian mythos? Having the rainbow be the sign from God that he would never destroy the world again? When he destroyed it the first time because of sexual immorality and homosexuality. So now homosexuals cloak themselves in the rainbow almost as if they're flaunting it in God's face. Why is your bank gay? Because BlackRock told them they had to be. Why did BlackRock tell them they had to be? Because they hate you and are destroying your country. It ain't that complicated, folks. Really not that complicated. It's about like spiritual domination. It's about having the guy who is an actual firmly believing Christian losing his job for not going along with it, or being forced to go out and giving a humiliating apology if he ever dares to speak out about it. It's about enforcing conformity specifically because it's something that people will not accept willingly and have to be forced to do. And so by forcing everybody to do it, you're exerting your power over them. And so in their minds and in your minds, you're forcing them to recognize your superiority, your authority, your power, because it's a humiliation ritual and a form of mental domination. Not that complicated. It's not good. You know, actually, I never actually did this. Maybe I should. I won't tell you who helped me with this. But basically, okay, so if you remember, about a week ago, maybe more, there's a social media couple who announced that they had terminated their pregnancy because they found out their baby had Down syndrome, and sparked a big conversation, a big debate. People saying, you know, pro-life people saying, how dare you? This is sick and disgusting. Other people pointing out all of the negative consequences that Down syndrome can bring in a life. And what my friend did, using AI and a lot of medical literature, basically took the argument in favor of terminating Down syndrome pregnancies and said, what if we could identify that your kid was gay while it was still in the womb? What if there was some sort of gene, some sort of expression, you could DNA test, just like with Down syndrome, and you could say, look, they have this particular allele on this particular cell, therefore, it's a 99.9% chance this baby is going to grow up to be gay. And then you go through all of the negative consequences of homosexuality, statistically, right? You know, being gay shortens your life by like a couple decades on average. The number of diseases that are prevalent almost exclusively in gay men, sexually transmitted diseases, is absolutely massive. The suicidality amongst the gay or trans population, way, 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 way higher than the normal population. And so it's this interesting comparison where you go to a liberal, a leftist, who would be very angry and outraged at me for saying the word retard, but they would kill their baby if it was Down syndrome. This type of hypocrisy that we're exploring here. But if you were to present them with all of this information about how bad Down syndrome people's lives were, they'd say, yep, that baby should be terminated. It's the best for the baby. You just want it born to suffer? Why were you so cruel? Terminate the pregnancy. But what if you showed them an even longer list of negative consequences and said, this is because the baby's gay? Would they terminate the gay pregnancy? Sort of makes them take a real long look at their moral judgment. If you can make a case, and I think you could make a pretty damn good case. It's harder to be gay than it is to be Down syndrome. That like life outcomes are worse amongst gay people than amongst Down syndrome people. So should we terminate gay pregnancies? Should we do that? It's kind of an interesting question, isn't it? Let's talk now about something that we've mentioned a few times. We haven't looked too much into it, and I'm going to have to spend more time on this in the days ahead. But there are a lot of stories coming out about the danger and the pervasiveness of flock cameras. So I want to go to clip number 23 here. This is a California resident explaining what's actually going on with flock cameras, why they're really being installed, why they're really being installed everywhere. By the way, Flock is not the only company that makes cameras like this. There are other companies out there that actually are explicit in their, you know, unwillingness to build a surveillance system. They, you know, deliberately don't allow their cameras to be accessed by anybody and everybody. There are other systems that could be used. They choose Flock on purpose because it, as a corporation, is immoral and willing to bend the rules when they can, allegedly, from my interpretation. Let's go to clip number 23 here. A California resident explaining what's really going on with all these Flock cameras everywhere. Let's watch.
My name is Brett, and I've been a Corona resident in District 4 for 15 years. I'm here to introduce DeFlock Corona, a community coalition asking this council to cancel the city's contract with Flock Safety and remove the cameras that have been deployed throughout our city. Our website is deflock-corona.org. I'm here because new Flock cameras were recently installed between my home and my daughter's school. So now every time I make that drive, my family's being photographed and logged into a giant corporate database. I want to be clear what these cameras actually are, and I say that with somebody with 20 years of experience in IT. I've served as the chief network architect for Fortune 500 companies. I've designed data centers, and today I work on cloud infrastructure for one of the largest loan origination companies in the country. I'm not speculating on how this technology works. I've read their patents, and I know how it works. Flock advertises these cameras as simple license plate readers. Their own patents tell a different story. They're AI-powered surveillance machines that capture every passing vehicle and person and transmit that data to a private corporate cloud, making it queryable by a multitude of state and federal agencies. The city of Corona does not control that database, and Corona residents have no public record rights against a private company's servers. Our daily movements are being harvested by a $7.5 billion corporation that only answers to venture capital investors, not to us. Flock did not reach that valuation on their per-camera subscription fees. That math doesn't add up. The city council should also understand who they're doing business with. Flock's CEO was asked whether the company had any federal contracts. He said no. That was a lie. Public records revealed that Flock had been secretly running a pilot program giving the U.S. Border Patrol access to local police camera data without the knowledge of the cities that paid for the cameras. Now consider who's behind the company and where your data flows. Flock integrates directly with Palantir, a data fusion platform with a $30 million contract with ICE. Peter Thiel, the founder of Palantir, is also one of Flock's primary investors. These are not separate companies with separate agendas. They are connected actors that are building a connected infrastructure. Palantir's own CEO stated publicly just this month that his technology is being used as a political instrument to designed to reduce the political power of certain voters. And that's the ecosystem that our Corona cameras are feeding into. We're not anti-police at all. We're against mass surveillance of innocent residents by a company with a documented record of deception built by investors with a stated political agenda. We're asking the city council to start auditing the queries made against Flock's database to disclose any data sharing agreements and to take a vote to cancel the Flock safety contract.
All right, so I'm going to show you another video when we get back on the other side. Yeah, this is a map showing all the Flock cameras in the United States. There's a lot about this that is extremely disturbing. Of course, Flock has patents describing broader object detection, including tracking people and pedestrians. The system uses a centralized cloud database for nationwide queries. Data goes back to Flock's private cloud AWS-based encrypted server. Nationwide lookup is common, with 75% of customers enrolled to enable cross-jurisdictional searches, with residents having no direct public access. It is a giant AI-powered surveillance grid and has never once been used to stop a crime or deport an illegal immigrant.
Hi, folks. Doc Bigley here. And today we're going to get to know our H2O. Billy, what kind of water do you drink?
Why, tap water, of course. Ma says it keeps my teeth sparkly white.
I'm sorry to say it, Billy, but your mother is either plain ignorant or worse, a communist. Let me explain.
Tap water used to be safe to drink, but communist subversives in our government introduced fluoride into our nation's tap under the guise of dental health, when in reality, fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies your pineal gland, and makes you susceptible to anti-capitalist mind viruses.
So you're telling me I'm a sap if I drink tap?
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are. But don't despair. We've found a solution. Follow me. I'd like to tell you a tale of two frogs. Frog number one has only ever drank unfiltered tap water, chock full of fluoride. Observe him listening to satanic music, abusing substances, and engaging in other perversions.
Look, Doc, they're trying to play leapfrog. They're pretty bad at it, though.
Avert your eyes, Billy. Let's continue.
Meanwhile, frog number two has only ever drank water that has been filtered for fluoride and other impurities. What a happy frog family.
Spill the secret, Doc. How do you get rid of the communist poisons?
With the new water filter system from the AlexJonesStore.com.
Say, Doc, may I have a glass?
Why, certainly. Well, that's just swell. No water in the water filter. Listen,
I'm not mad at the crew, but I asked for real water in here 30 minutes ago and never got it.
Crew's in trouble again.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
This is terrifying. According to the CEO of Flock, if you even try to map where his cameras are in your city, you're a terrorist.
There's an organization called DFlock, who are semi-well-known now, I guess, if you're interested in this stuff, who take a fairly aggressive approach in terms of counting the number of cameras and having a Discord channel where they talk about potential, you know, activities to move against Flock and stop it expanding.
And then, unfortunately, there's terroristic organizations like DFlock, whose primary motivation is chaos. They are closer to Antifa than they are anything else.
This is pretty ironic, coming from the guy who proudly says he's putting hundreds of thousands of cameras across America.
But to your point, we have really three broad buckets of technology. We have devices that detect evidence. So, you know, we mentioned a camera that focuses on car. We have cameras that focus on people. We have gunshot detection. That's really like things that capture that evidence. And then we have AI that decodes it. So one of the problems that we create unintentionally is, well, if you have 100 license plate readers, you now have a lot of information. How do you decode that with AI? And so we have a product we call Freeform that allows you to type in English language heuristics, something like, I'm looking for a Ford F-150 from the 1990s with a racing stripe and rust on the front. And we'll find that car. And then we have a third bucket of software and hardware that is really, how do you deliver and respond faster. So we manufacture drones. So when a 911 call comes in, instead of having to wait for an officer to show up, boom, you click a button, the drone is there in 30 seconds, in 45 seconds. And then a handful of software products that also help deliver that same kind of rapid response.
And the time frame on when you think crime will
or disappear,
no longer exist?
Well, I think the cool part is that it's really a two-step evolution. Like step one is you have to solve crime. So if you look at all of the primary research on the top, so not my opinion, but what, you know, academics have studied.
They're not even hiding the surveillance state anymore. They're building it in plain sight. Hell, even the name Flock fits perfectly with Animal Farm, a George Orwell book about a totalitarian state. But it somehow gets even worse. The CEO openly admits that many of his own customers don't even know which type of Flock camera they have.
So we just start doing it and just kind of brute forced through pain and sweat. Our customers have no idea what version of camera they're on. They think they have the Flock camera. We're on version like 4.6 or whatever.
And that's important because these aren't just license plate readers. Some of them can also capture audio and collect digital signals from nearby devices.
This particular device does not have a camera in it. It has a very sensitive microphone connected to AI. It listens for, quote, sounds of distress. The only way it can detect sounds of distress is if it's always listening. And then, what is the threshold for a sound of distress as a matter of policy? When the news segment aired, they showed me sharing my concerns about how this technology is going to be used.
In cities like Atlanta, you're almost always on camera. There's reportedly about one camera for every 10 people.
Atlanta has more surveillance cameras per person than anywhere in the U.S.
It's definitely very observable that you are being watched.
On the way here, I think I passed 20 Flock cameras. So my car was tracked 20 times just getting here. And the question is, do we really want to be living in this type of community where surveillance is now the answer to public safety?
But here's where it gets really disturbing. The CEO keeps insisting these cameras exist to keep everyone safe.
If we're successful, which knock on wood, we'll keep up that path. In 10 years from now, America as a country is a dramatically different place. It is a place where crime doesn't exist, where people are starting businesses and they're building families. And they will largely look back and they'll be, you know, my kids will be in high school. And in the U.S. history book, there'll be a part about Flock and how because of Flock, we are a safer, happier, healthier company or country.
Then how do you explain officers allegedly using them to stalk their exes or to intimidate innocent people?
The scariest part about the 18 cops so far found to use the Flock system to stalk their exes, but it wasn't just their exes they were stalking. And we're not just talking looking up license plates a couple of times. This one police chief in Kansas alone ran his ex-girlfriend and her new boyfriend's license plates hundreds of times, using the information to then hunt them down.
We have cameras everywhere in that town. You can't get a breath of fresh air in or out without us knowing.
Right now, you're watching body camera footage of a police officer wrongfully accusing an innocent woman of package theft at her Colorado home.
Let me announce the kickoff of the summer sale. This is going to run for 2 weeks, and different items for only 3 days will be buy one, get one free. Right now, it's Ultra Methylene Blue, the very best methylene blue. You've heard about methylene blue. Ours is medical grade. Buy one, get one free. Another big deal on tri-iodine, the best, cleanest iodine. Take action now. The start of summer sale kickoff is now live. And look at this. Nice black hat, high quality, with a nice leather patch, made in the USA, just classy. And that's from Dickie. Really proud of that. And look at this bad boy. I designed this bad boy, the concept. 1776, Redneck Deluxe. And that is good stuff with the two crossed musket rifles. That is a good-looking, good old boy right there. And it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. Get it all now at thealexjonesstore.com and stick your finger right in New World Order's all CNI and say, screw you, globalists. We're keeping Alex Jones on the air.
Who took the bomb?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, final hour. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls. Got a new phone number, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. It is 5:06 p.m. Central Time here on Thursday, the 25th of June, 2026. 512-266-0642. That's number to dial. Give us a call. Haven't heard from you in a while. Excited to hear what you think about all the goings-on these days. 512-266-0642. War Room Live now taking your calls. We'll let those fill up. We'll let the phone lines fill up and go to a few more videos. Of course, we've hardly touched on some of the more egregious things exposed about Israel and Iran over the last few days. Our friend of the show, Brandon Weikert, was on. Who was he on with? But he gave a breakdown as to the cost of the Iran war. This was posted by Dr. Simon at Godek. A 12-day war, and the Pentagon had burned through almost a third of its Tomahawks, most of its THAAD interceptors, and so many naval SM-3s and SM-6s, the supply chain now has significant gaps. This happened all in the first 12 days. The White House kept saying the ships were never in danger. Then why did the Navy empty its magazines defending them? You don't fire your most expensive interceptors at a threat that doesn't exist. So for the next half decade, the most heavily armed country on Earth is walking around with a half-empty holster because a foreign government nobody voted for dragged it into a fight it was told would be quick and decisive. And, of course, that was always a lie. And those of us who were paying attention always knew it was a lie. And, again, we can sort of combine this. And, guys, if you can find the video with Brandon Weikert, we'll go to in just a second, but I just read this during the break, checking X. I got this notification from the outlaw Felix Highlander. Now, he's responding to the video that we played from Nick Fuentes earlier, where Nick is saying what again, I could not agree more with, which is that the Trump administration is setting us up to get absolutely screwed because they are talking with bravado and aggressiveness, but they're not backing it up with anything. And so all they're doing is empowering the left. All they're doing is revving up and building up the outrage and the fury and the aggressiveness of the left
Trump's going to be out of office soon, very soon, sooner than you think. And if the left sweeps in, destroys all of us, it's going to get really bad. So I posted Nick Fuentes saying that, which again, it's not like I got it from him, right? I've been saying this for a very long time as well. But the Outlander, the outlaw Felix Highlander at Felix Highlander said, "This makes me very sad, but there's no arguing against it. Trump had a chance to save this country, but Israel raped him and the rest of us. Ironically, this is what will lead to the destruction of Israel as well, because third world quote unquote socialists are going to seize power and go after them as hard as they will any other white civilization, if not harder. At some point, Trump decided, instead of listening to his America First allies, he was going to listen to suicidal Zionist fanatics, and now Americans are absolutely lost." Again, it does suck. It really does. And I really wish it hadn't gone this way. And I really fear for the state of America once the anti-Israel socialists get power. But once again, it is entirely Trump's fault. It's entirely the Republicans' fault. They have not done anything they promised to do and are basically out of time now. I mean, what do you think it's going to, everything's going to happen in the next 4 months? I mean, this is now. I mean, we're basically at the midterms now. Democrats are going to sweep, as we explained yesterday. See, the Democrats embrace their extremists. They embrace the Democratic Socialists of America. At least they don't actively destroy them and criminalize their beliefs. And so when the Democrat base is mad at the Democrat Party, they have an outlet to express that. They have socialists to vote for that aren't your typical Democrat Party stalwarts. And so they'll get voted in. For the Republicans have spent the last year systematically eliminating any opposition voices within their party. So the Republican base that's mad at the way Trump has handled things has nobody to vote for. They got rid of Thomas Massie. They got rid of Marjorie Taylor Greene. They got rid of Casey Putsch and everybody else that's running on a America First ticket. So Republicans aren't going to be, it's not going to be like Democrats. You're not going to have a sweeping in of a bunch of hardcore right wingers because of the dissatisfaction of the Republican base. The Republican base is going to go to the Democrats because the Republican Party has been so effectively liquidated of any anti-establishment voices. So they're going to lose. So this time next year, would you be surprised if Trump was out of office? I mean, he's supposed to go till 2028, but how effective, how quickly do you think the Democrats are going to act if they get control of Congress and the Senate? I guarantee you they already have the bill of impeachment prepared. It's sitting on a desk somewhere just waiting to be invoked the first moment they can. And they will. And I, for one, am not going to defend President Trump, just like I don't think a lot of people are, because he kind of deserves it. Kind of deserves it, which, you know, it's a very silly thing. The only way I can make sense of it is that Trump literally made a deal where he was sick of being persecuted. He was sick of being bankrupted. And they must have made a deal because now he's, you know, no IRS investigation for the rest of his life. And his whole family gets to make billions of dollars off insider trading that's never going punished. But, like, does he really think he's protected? The Democrats are not going to listen to any agreement he made with some shadowy forces. Okay, I'll go to war with Iran, but you got to protect me and my family. Who's going to protect you from President Gavin Newsom? It's also ridiculous. So this is the reason. So, like, the number one reason, you can look at, and this is the irony, too. I saw a comment under my post of the Nick Fuentes video going, it was people like Nick Fuentes that are going to make us lose. What? No, it's the Republican Party failing to live up to their promises, failing to do anything for the American people, failing to address the cost of living crisis, starting a war with Iran, primarily, probably the biggest thing. The Epstein files certainly didn't help. They've made these choices. It's their fault. The people criticizing it are doing the right thing. And if they'd been listened to, if we'd been listened to, the midterms would probably be a walk in the park. I mean, it'd be a cakewalk. Look at 2024. Look at the coalition that Trump was able to gather. If he'd stuck with the messaging, if he'd actually fulfilled the promises, 2028, we'd be cruising to victory. Here's one aspect of the utter stupidity that the Iran war represents. Here's Brandon Weikert on Tucker Carlson.
The likely closer to 80% of terminal high altitude area defense interceptors were expended in the course of the war. Over 1,000, that's about a third of our entire stockpile of Tomahawk cruise missiles has been expended. Large quantities of the JASSM missiles, as well as pretty much the entire pre-war inventory of new precision strike missiles, the PrSMs that were used. Also, interestingly enough, because we were told there was never any threat to our Navy, this is why, of course, they never really dared to go through the Strait of Hormuz, the Navy reports that they expended large quantities of their SM-3 and SM-6 naval interceptors, which indicates to me, if I may conjecture here, that there must have been one hell of a fight over the security of our ships when the war was in its kinetic phase. So the White House was lying when they said that the ships were totally safe. Our ships are very much at risk, obviously, from these numbers. Furthermore, there are now significant gaps in the supply chain for those naval defenders. One last bit of data I'd like to deliver here. The chart here I have is for the PrSM. We blew through our pre-war stock, which was already low. They're saying the best estimate will be it will be replenished by late this year. The JASSM air-to-surface missiles will probably be replaced middle of next year. Those SM-3, SM-6 Navy defense missiles will take until about mid-2028. Those Patriot interceptors, not until closer to 2030. The THAAD interceptors, and the THAADs are the real important ones. That's not going to come until probably 2030, and the Tomahawks will not be replaced for another 5 years. So we better hope that the Chinese...
So those are your replenishment timelines. Straight from the numbers, Tomahawks will take 5 years to replenish. Patriots around 2030. THAAD will be refilled around 2030. Naval interceptors, mid-2028. Air-to-surface missiles, middle of next year, if you're lucky. So for the next half decade at least, the most heavily armed country on Earth is walking around with a half-empty holster because a foreign government nobody voted for dragged it into a fight it was told would be quick and decisive. And the same people who lied about the ships being safe are now the ones claiming that China is the real problem. Of course, we could go on about how America is being abused and humiliated routinely in the Middle East with no sign of it ending anytime soon. And once again, I'll just reiterate, from the beginning, our take was that this war with Iran was likely the worst decision anyone's ever made. No qualifiers there. nothing to add. Like, I'm serious. Out of all the decisions ever made by any human being, Trump's decision to say yes to Benjamin Netanyahu was one of the worst ever, ever. Okay. One day we'll learn that all together. One day everybody will recognize this and everybody will be shocked that nobody knew, even though we were here the whole time saying it. Let's go now to your phone calls. We've got Johnny Freight Train in Florida. Thanks for calling in, Johnny. You're on the air.
It's been a long time no talk. How's your little family doing?
Doing fantastic, sir. I know it really has been a while since we've taken phone calls, and that's my fault. My apologies. We're gonna get back on that train. Good to hear from you, Johnny.
Well, look, I've got one thing to say, and it's short and sweet. I live a long way from Canada. That being said, I've known a lot of Down syndrome people. My wife's sister was Down syndrome. She was as sweet as a honeycomb. The only thing that it took to make that girl happy was a bag of Lay's potato chips. And she was as happy as she can be. And I see a lot of Down syndrome children holding down jobs. And all I got to say, Harrison, is anybody that aborts a child for any reason, in my book, is a murderer, but for a Down syndrome child, it's a double murder, if you ask me, Harrison.
I agree. It's ruthless. It's heartless. And it's all, and also, by the way, you can't always trust those tests. Like, I've heard of people, I know many, many instances of people who were told their child would be Down syndrome, chose not to abort, and the child was totally fine. So it's like extra crazy to be like, well, this random, you know, scientific test says there's some percentage chance, so kill the kid. It's like, no, it's disgusting. I find it completely disgusting. And yeah, if you ever listen to, I'm totally blanking on his name. Who's the comedian? Shane Gillis. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Shane Gillis does, you know, entire bits about his Down syndrome family members, how they're like the happiest people you'll ever meet. They're total bros. It's kind of crazy to be like, oh, we don't want to, you know, have them a life of suffering. And every Down syndrome person you meet is just like, I have the best life ever. Hi, nice to meet you. So it's very, very disturbing. Thank you so much for the call, Johnny. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Elijah in Indiana now on line two. Thanks for calling in. Elijah, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to talk about 70. Our brains have 70,000 thoughts per day, and TikTok is a humongous influence on why those thoughts get misled. One of the biggest reasons of education, like you see it in all the newest trends and all the newest everything, is uneducation. Like they go towards the weakest. They literally shortcut every single word, every single everything. Hmm. And if you are watching 2 to 3 hours of TikTok a day, you are actually consuming a good 500 plus new thoughts that your brain would not normally have. And plus, our brains can't even decipher screens from real life. So if you're constantly watching that, you're just overwhelming yourself to death.
Yeah. And, you know, it wouldn't be that big of a concern, except that people seem not to have the ability to like critically think about stuff. I know this is such like a typical complaint, but like literally, there are times where like people send me videos and I'm like, do you not understand that they didn't say anything in that video? Like, they're saying stuff. I mean, it'll be a 5-minute long video, but if you're actually trying to like determine what it is they're saying, like the narrative they're laying out or the logic they're laying out, it doesn't exist. It's not there. And, you know, ideally people would make these videos would have just basic sort of journalistic understanding of like who, what, when, where, why. That's my big frustration with TikTok. So I'll get a video and it'll just be like, well, it happened again. You know, and it's just like, there's like into a narrative. And I'm like, but who is doing what? You've got to lay the groundwork. You've got to like tell me what's actually happening here. And when they don't do that, the consumer has to be able to recognize, hey, they left a lot of stuff out here. They told me what they wanted to tell me, but they didn't tell me anything else. And so the problem, I think, is when people are just sort of passively accepting everything that they're being given and they just hear it and it just, you know, gets folded into their brain and one of those thoughts and just stays there with no critical interpretation of like, now wait, is this actually true? It just sort of becomes a brick in the wall that other bricks get piled on top of, and it was wrong the whole time. So yeah, it's totally destructive. But then again, if you're on TikTok watching woodworking videos, it'll show you woodworking videos, and there's no problem with watching a ton of videos of crafts and things. So again, I don't want the government feeling like it has the authority to come in and dictate what our algorithm shows us, but in order to avoid that, we have to not succumb to the temptation of doing this anyway. You know, maybe if the crew can bring in, maybe I'll play at the beginning of the next segment. PewDiePie just came out with a video that was basically about how to break free of the algorithmic programming. And it could actually be very valuable and sort of in line with what you're talking about, Elijah. You sound kind of young, Elijah. I mean, you don't have to tell me how old you are, but are you like Gen Z? I mean, do you think it's having more impact on the younger generations?
Yeah, I'm 21. I'm trying to be an up-and-coming journalist and get away from the four-eyed stare people and get away and get with some people right-minded.
Yeah, you can call it the TikTok stare now. It's like the TikTok voice people have. Well,
yeah.
You know, it's one of these things. You know, it's like, well, if people want to watch trash, you know, what do you, I guess you can go in and stop them from doing it, but you know, just like crime, I mean, it's the same as crime, it's the same as anything else. If people behave themselves, you don't need totalitarianism. If people watch things that are edifying and truthful and productive, then you don't need the government to come in and dictate the algorithm. But when people watch trash or when people act out, yeah, you got to come in with authoritarian measures. It's the whole problem we're stuck in, this whole feedback loop we're involved in right now. Thank you so much for the call, Elijah. Sean in California is on the line about flock cameras. Thanks for calling in, Sean. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Harrison. I'm going to kind of be brief on this. The flock camera subject is kind of near and dear to me. I'm in Riverside, California, as you know, and Corona is our next city over by way of the 91 freeway heading towards from Riverside towards Anaheim, Disneyland, and all that other good garbage out there. The city of Riverside had an issue a few years back where we had an Australian-owned company that was installing these traffic cameras. Similar concept. To try to get, you know, traffic ticket revenue up by reading everyone's plates at the intersections.
Right.
And people in Riverside successfully challenged for the video footage of those ticket cameras to prove it wasn't them driving through the intersections because those cameras would misfire. The corporation claimed it was proprietary evidence and would not submit it for the prosecution. And so it got too costly for Riverside to try to prosecute people over traffic tickets. So that's something the city of Corona and those people out there are going to have to look at, is turning that system of mass surveillance on its head, because what you're pointing out a moment ago with the Down syndrome issue, we're getting to that point real soon where we're going to have that eugenics and surveillance state mix like in several dystopia novels and movies. So I just wanted to put that out there that we've kind of been through that, and they are reinstalling the cameras from a UCR through Moreno Valley, basically here in the east end of Riverside. So it's something to keep an eye out on. And I'm going to be reaching out to those folks in Corona, let them know some of the approaches they can take out there. Plus, they're also within range for my county general assembly that I always tell you about. So lots of options for them. So
give us the website, Sean.
Well, I'll have people go to restore-america.org so they get involved with people in their state, or DeJure for Cali, DeJure. Number 4, Cali.org, for those of us that are here in California. So
awesome.
We're going to get this rocking and rolling. I don't like people in Corona where I grew up being abused like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's unfortunate, and this is the problem that I would like to solve in this country, which is that they always get to try to oppress you. There's really no barrier to them installing this stuff and then giving you tickets. It's up to you, and it sucks. It's a burden that we shouldn't have to deal with. Like, we should be able to trust our government not to just try to nickel and dime us all the time and try to accuse us of things that we didn't do. But, like, that's what happens. So you've got to fight back, and you can actually succeed, and the citizens can actually succeed. Stuff like that is really effective. If you go, well, hey, look, in order to give me a ticket, you have to testify against me. Who's testifying? The camera? Is it the person who's looking at the camera? I can't, you know, a robot can't be in court testifying against me. So you can actually get it thrown out that way. And I thought maybe we had a video about that, or is an article I saw, but this has been happening pretty regularly. People being accused of crimes that are caught on flock camera, having to go and prove it wasn't them, which of course can be effective. But in addition to that, people challenging the tickets, saying you're now shifting the burden of proof from the accuser to the accused, which is unconstitutional. You know, guilty until proven innocent is a fundamental part of our justice system. And that includes things like, you know, traffic cameras and traffic tickets. They have to prove that you broke the law. You don't have to prove you didn't. You know what I mean? So, but with the flock cameras, this sort of inverts, and they say, you've been accused of this. You have to prove that it wasn't you. You have to prove that, you know, you were somewhere else, or that this camera is mistaken. And that's not the way our Constitution works. So you have to be able to challenge this at the local level on, you know, grounds of constitutionality or privacy, or that, you know, this is, because really what they're relying on is people just sort of pay the ticket, right? They just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the headache. They don't think they can win. So they think, okay, do I want to spend a couple days in the DMV or the local court challenging this? Or do I want to pay the $50 fine? I'll just pay the $50 fine. That's what they're relying on. They're relying on you not doing anything to stop this. All you have to do is something to stop it. It really as simple as that. More calls on the other side. I see Jefferson, James, John, Godzilla, and Bart. We'll try to get to all of you on the other side. Remember to go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. You're running out of time to get your merchandise for the July 4th celebration. To get it delivered in time, you should order by the 28th at the least. Certainly if you're in the continental United States, thealexjonesstore.com. We'll be right back.
Very special event is about to happen this July 4th, 2026. The 250th anniversary of the beginning of our republic. And hey, Our country's had a lot of problems, done a lot of bad things, but it's also done a lot of exceptional things. And it created the model of human liberty that others have aspired to across the world. That's why the globalists have come to this nation and tried to take it over, because our liberties and freedoms amassed so much wealth, so many inventions, so much ingenuity, that it became the center of the world. So tyranny came here and had pretty much taken the nation over. But now we have major beachheads at the federal, state, and local level. And there are populist movements expanding and raging across the world in the great fourth turning, the great awakening. Their great reset, their COVID attack, their lockdowns have only backfired on them. And their attempts to launch all these wars has only awoken humanity. And that's why we're doing a fundraiser right now until the end of July, with more than a dozen limited edition shirts, some of the best designs ever at thealexjonesstore.com that are only available through the month of July. Ladies and gentlemen, these shirts fund our operation. They're great fabric. They feel really good. They're printed right here in the United States in Arkansas. And I designed many of these shirts. These are some of the best, cleanest designs we've ever had. This one just came from Arkansas out of the mail. It hasn't even been washed yet or even folded. That's why it's got a few wrinkles. It looks even better once you've washed it, taken out of the dryer. And we've got a whole bunch of incredible designs we're putting on screen right now. And when you wear these shirts out in public, you meet like-minded people, it is a real adventure. There are hundreds of other incredible designs, ball caps. Many of them are limited edition. All these 250th anniversary are, and they're only available at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at this. America, 76, 250 years with the Betsy Ross flag on the arm. That's what it's all about. So get your shirts now. Get the best supplements, the best water filtration, and more at thealexjonesstore.com, and keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. America is coming back from the dead thanks to you.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
This is an emergency transmission from FEMA Region 6 in occupied North America.
There is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at AlexJonesLive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at AlexJonesLive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, AlexJonesApp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I found a cure.
And a lot of it is going to sound crazy, but you gotta hear me out. It's a step-by-step process. And I'm not saying you have to do all of it, but you should do some of it. For me, the solution started with my de-Googling video. That's not to say Google is the whole problem with everything. Clearly, I failed with my de-Googling. I'm still on YouTube. And full transparency, I still use Google Maps. It's too good. It tracks traffic too good. Okay, what am I supposed to do? I tried using like a wrapper for it, and then they banned that. So thank you, Google, for smuggling again. I can't, there's no escape. I wanted to remove all the tracking and telemetry. So I put all those apps that I didn't really trust in a second profile. Social media, anything attention hungry, it went on the second profile. And I swear to God, I cannot understate how much that has changed my life. Those 5 to 6 seconds that it takes for me to switch over to the other profile stops me every time from going, hey, is this what I want to be doing? People get dumb phones to stop themselves from wasting time on the phone, but really, that's all you need. You just need a little bit of friction. Now, my phone is what I want it to be. A device that serves me, not the other way around. I'm not the product. The second thing I did was self-hosting. You gotta self-host, man. They're coming for you. The effect that self-hosting did on me was that I am not the product anymore. What the things I use are mine, and because they're not free, I'm not paying with my privacy or getting algo smucked. I think the main difference is that ads and news don't reach me. It's hard to explain the effect that this has on you without actually experiencing it. I'm one of those people that believe how much the subconscious affects you. Even if you are not actively processing information, just the fact that it exists in your peripheral messes with your head. All these services going, it messes with your head, man. How much? Like, even if you're not actively clicking on all these bullshit, you still see it, and I still think it messes with you. Self-hosting, I'm just here, vibing. It's me and the tools I use, nothing else. No noise. Next thing we're gonna do is we're gonna disable shorts. Poof, gone. You don't have to do this. I like YouTube, okay? I don't have to de-Google everything, okay? But I hate how shorts is everywhere. I can't escape it. I search, there's shorts. Homepage, short. I go to someone's channels and shorts are short all the time. If I was running a website, I would want to empower my users. Google CEO, hello? Why can't I disable if I want to? Why? Next, I unfollowed everyone. You don't have to do this. This is definitely a me thing. I just got really fed up. Next, get a DNS blocker. It's kind of the same as YouTube thing that I did, where you block a bunch of stuff, only that it does it on a network level. So you can remove ads, you can remove websites. None of it even reaches your device. I think you owe it to yourself to take some time today and start building your tech fence. That's what I'm calling this, tech fencing. These tech companies don't care about you, so you're gonna have to start caring about yourself. I care about you. That's why I'm making this video. So the cheat code is basically build some friction. It's that simple. Let your brain catch up and make the choice yourself. And also filter out the noise. That's your defense and that's your cure. Now you understand the disease. You are free. Bon voyage. That's my new outro. Just kidding. Breakfast.
That's PewDiePie. Most popular YouTuber of all time. Who has since, yeah, sort of semi-retired and, should really be an inspiration for all of us. Walked away sort of at the top of his game. He has a wife and kids and is just enjoying himself now, talking about how to break free from the technological enslavement that really is on you. Yeah, no one else can do it for you. There's another interesting video I was watching the other day about unstructured time that sort of dovetails right into what he's talking about, how there used to be these long swaths of time almost every day in people's lives where you just had to kind of sit there, you know, maybe listen to what was on the radio, but like even that, you know, wasn't something you chose. So it wasn't something you were hyper focused on. And basically that now there's like not a single moment that people just allow their thoughts to sort of consolidate. And there's like biological reality to this, to where, you know, one of the reasons we sleep, right, is to rest our brains and give time for the connections to be solidified in our brains between the neurons. And, you know, that happens on a smaller level. Anytime your brain is at rest, it's sort of repairing and consolidating all the information that it's taken in. And we basically don't have that throughout our day when we used to. And there's, you know, physiological problems with that. And there's mental problems that come about with that. So, you know, all of this stuff is tied in together. Remember, yeah, I, for one, don't think it's a coincidence that the logo of Apple is an apple with a bite taken out of it, hearkening back to, you know, the original sin of Eve. But like Steve Jobs didn't allow his kids to have iPads or iPods. They know how bad it is. They know it's not good for you. They push it on you anyway. So you want to truly be superior. You've got to protect yourself from this stuff and have the discipline to keep it that way. That's what the elites do. It's one of the reasons they're the elite, so-called. Let's go out to your calls now. We've got, looks like John is next from the heartland of Texas. Go ahead, John, you're on the air.
What's up, Harris? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
I'm having kind of trouble hearing you, John. Make sure you're up against the phone there. It sounds like I'm on speaker or something. Can we try that again?
What's up? Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
I hear you now. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, man, every time I watch your show, man, my heart rate just keeps on going up. I'm too young for that. But I feel like we need to do something as, you know, Christians in Texas because, you know, we're obviously under attack, right? Let's not play games.
Yeah.
Cameras. We got the Muslims. We got the Indians. We got all of it, right?
Yeah.
Even the fraud. And it's coming. All from California, huh? So I think we should go protest just like how the Muslims are. We need to unite, right? So we
need
to spread a word out, you know? Like in different cities, like Austin, you know, like... And even in dirty Dallas, right?
That's, I mean, it's, there. Dallas is getting hit harder than everything. And here's what I find to be a big barrier to our ability to do this. Sort of goes back to what you just said, where like when you watch the show and your heart rate pumps up. Yesterday, I talked to my dad yesterday. I was texting with him and he and my mom were on a long drive. And he's like, yeah, I tried to put your show on. Mom lasted about 2 minutes before she made me turn it off. Because it upsets her, because it's like hearing about this stuff, it's deeply upsetting. And it should be, it is. At the same time, what are you going to not know about it? You're just going to be ignorant to the reality going on? It's like, if this is upsetting, it should be. It's reality. Reality should be upsetting, and we should do something to fight back against this. Again, I'm not yelling at my mom here. You know, she doesn't need to be learning any of, you know, upsetting herself about any of this stuff. But certainly for young guys that are going to have to live in the world that's being created, like, you got to be aware of what's going on. You got to actually understand the mindset that's being imported right now. And that's one of the reasons I try always to play the videos of migrants or whoever else when they're explicit, when they're like, oh yeah, we're taking over. We're coming and we're going to conquer you. It's like, I wish I could just do like a freaking Amber Alert on everybody's phone of one of those videos. Just be like, hey, everybody in America, you understand some portion of the people coming over here feel this way. Now, whether that's 1% or 50%, shouldn't that be a concern of you, for you? Shouldn't you be aware and fighting back against people that are just openly espousing their desire for your total destruction? I mean, so I think that's the first step. John, is how do we get people to even recognize what's going on around them when they're constantly told that everything is fine and that anybody talking about the great replacement or immigration as a weapon, they're crazy white supremacists. I mean, that, as much as we've broken through the whatever it's called Overton window to a certain point, there's still so many people in our country that cannot even handle the information, let alone the conclusions that come along with it. How do we get this out to people? How do we smash through the Overton window like that, John? You better have an answer. You better have a good answer for me. No, it's...
Listen. I think I got one.
Okay.
We need door knockers, right? Like, yeah. Everyone's scared to go knock on doors now these days and go talk to people, right?
Yeah.
Like, it can start with anyone in this world, and if
just
it
got
to be me, then soon.
Just go door to door, sort of handing out flyers, sort of here's what you need to be aware of. That could be good, like infographics. Of course, the problem is we've seen stuff like that. In fact, it was a Dallas neighborhood, and I remember reading the story at the time, and it was like people had put up stickers saying it's okay to be white. And the local news was like, if you see evidence of flyers like this, go inside and call the police. It's like, take cover immediately, secure yourself, and then phone the police and they'll take care of it. So, you know, don't get yourself on some sort of list by handing out literature. But yeah, I mean, again, you don't let X give you a warped perspective of normies out there. It's incumbent on all of us. Everybody listening to my voice needs to spend some time with normies every single day. Maybe it's at work, you know, but if you don't have a job or you work at home, you got to go out of your way to go hang out where normies are congregating, to hear what they're saying, to ask them questions, because boy, are they on a whole different planet. And how to break through to them has to be our number one mission. And if we're not working constantly to expand the number of people that are aware of this stuff, then really we're just spinning our wheels. We don't want to be preaching to the choir. Most of you already know a lot of this stuff. But I hope every single day, I'm thinking in my mind, you know, who is that person that's tuning in for the first time? Who is that person that just got the text from a friend they haven't talked to in a while? Hey, you should probably watch this live stream. I think it's important. Somebody out there, I mean, there are millions of people listening to us, so there's got to be new ones every single day. And I hope that, you know, they've got the courage to actually face this stuff, because you can't defeat it if you don't even know what's happening. Thanks so much for the call, John. We go now to Godzilla in Wisconsin. Thanks for calling in, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. Crusader Harrison, how you doing? Nice talking to you.
Quite well, thank you. Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you heard of the Lev Tahor things in South America and Guatemala and Colombia.
Lev Tahor, was that the sort of pedophile gang that was driven out of Guatemala?
Yes, yeah, and they were like, they did a raid and they found like 160 kids
mm-hmm.
that were there and like other places.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I remember the bust happened. The thing I remember most about that was there was a meme that was like, isn't it weird to imagine that there's some like uncontacted tribe in the rainforests of South America that are saying in whatever their language is, the equivalent of these damn Jews. What is wrong with these Jews? It's because the Lev Tahor, they were living in like the middle of a jungle. They were like an outpost in the middle of a jungle, and they were driven out of Guatemala by like these native tribes, like stabbing them with sharpened sticks. Like it was a weird situation there. But yeah, I remember that story. What about it?
Oh, this guy online, he was like autistic or whatever. He did like a number comparison to like the amount of Israeli Zionist extremists who were there. And then like other places in the U.S. and throughout the world that had like similar concentrations, and like the numbers lined up like near perfectly. And it was like really bizarre. I don't know if you saw that thread.
Well, I did not see that thread. Sorry. Could you explain that again? The numbers of the Lev Tahor group in Guatemala, they were the same as, well, what do you mean by that?
So like they did like proportionately, like with per capita, like how many people missing compared to like how many people who are in the like Lev Tahor group there. And then they compared it to like other areas where there's like large concentrations of like Israeli extremists, and they found like the missing person numbers were like matching. And this person on X was like, there's like a numerical correlation, you know, and like we all remember those tunnels in New York and like them pulling out the mattress, and like maybe it's a mix of other secret societies. But like why I bring it up is like, as you saw with this Iran conflict, like they have this like heart murmur technology, or like even in your iPhone, like the tilt sensor, like where you tilt from like vertical to horizontal, like it's super sensitive. It can pick up your heart rate, how sensitive it is. If you look at the sensor, there's like articles on it. Like they should use that technology to like find these missing kids, these kids that are being tortured and mutilated or whatever the hell's going on, and like save them. You know, I thought I would think it would be a win. You know, the Epstein stuff and all the other trafficking stuff kind of just got like swept under the radar with the Iran war and all these, and the reflecting pool, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think it's like a proactive thing that the investigative agencies like the CIA and the FBI can do. And like, you know, the U.S. tax dollars paid for all this. So like, I think they could be lobbied to use the same technology, you know, not only to find this like weapon systems officer in Iran, but like find kids who are being tortured, you know, as we speak right now. And like, obviously, like that other caller said, like America's under attack, and like European people I talk to, like they're well aware of like similar situations happening in European history. And it's because like the American people have been turned into, American men especially, have been turned into betas and cucks. And through poisoning a lot and media, you know, multi-prong attack, But, like, it's unfortunate, obviously. You know, like, I remember how long we've been under attack, like, with, remember that missile strike in Miami or in Florida where, like, the building collapsed?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, that RV on, like, Christmas Day or something.
Yeah, the Nashville explosion. And it was Southside Miami, I think, or Florida. And I can't remember. There are either two or I'm mixing up the two, but there was one where the whole building fell. And, yeah, then Israel sent IDF teams to Florida to assist with tower collapse rescue efforts. The only time they've ever done anything like that, totally suspicious. And the speculation was that perhaps John McAfee had a dead man's switch in that building. But, again, I can't remember if I'm mixing up that building with another one. I mentioned this yesterday, and I never got to it. Yeah, it was that same one, right? Yeah, very, very suspicious. The bombing in Nashville right outside the AT&T communications hub. Bunch of suspicious stuff like that that it does. It gets totally swept under the rug. Completely insane stories that they just go, yeah, I was a crazy guy, and that's all you need to know. Bye. And that's what you get. Yesterday I talked about this, and I didn't get to it, but I have compiled the stories. Because yesterday, I went on something. It wasn't a normal website I go on. I can't remember what it was. Can't remember exactly. It may have been 4chan or something. I can't remember. But it's this infographic or this image that says Valcesia is becoming an Israeli colony. And it's like, what? Another Israeli colony? And so, sure enough, here's the story. Valcesia, the Piedmont Valley that is becoming an Israeli colony, from Borgo Sesia to Varallo, passing through Cravaliana and Scopello, the Piedmontese valleys are experiencing a demographic renaissance that is quite unique. At the heart of this transformation is Progetto Beta, an initiative that has already brought over 80 Israeli families to Valcesia, approximately 250 people, with more than 400 registered members, determined to embark on a new life and invest in an area that until recently was marked by depopulation. On paper, we're faced with a history of pure administrative pragmatism and welcome, often framed under the label of true Varallo model. Yet, looking at the dynamics through the lens of current international power relations, more profound and political distortions emerge. So I see this, and I'm like, wait, there's an Israeli colony being built in the Piedmont valleys of Israel, an Israeli community thrives at the foot of the Italian Alps, but not all in perfect paradise. And so I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll add this to the list. And then I start looking into it, because I'm like, how many more colonies is Israel building? Because we know they're trying to buy the Albanian land, and by the way, that's directly across the coast, directly across a small strait, the Strait of Orontia, I believe. From the boot of Italy, where Israelis already have a colony, essentially. So it looks like they're trying to buy the land on both sides of the strait there for some reason. And Albania has been in the news all over the place because of the protests. But that's like far, 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 far from the latest. So I start looking it up. I start finding more and more examples. So you've got this. Israeli official suggests purchasing Greek islands as a haven for Jewish people. A representative of the Israeli defense minister Benny Gantz, Kahol Levon party, raised an initiative last week to purchase islands in Greece using money from the Jewish National Fund, quote, for the good of the Jewish people. Okay, so you've got a valley in Italy. You've got these Greek islands. Then, like, as I'm looking this up, I think it was on Reddit. Then there was a comment on Reddit that was like, I'm from Kenya. They're doing it here, too. And I'm like, what the hell? So then I go look up this. Why Israel's massive land in Nakuru has raised eyebrows. A controversy over land in Kenya's Rift Valley has captured public imagination and ignited debates about foreign investment, sovereignty, history, and geopolitics. At the center of the controversy is a 520-acre agricultural and residential project developed by Israeli investor Erez Rivkin in Sole Nakuru County. It's an expansive farm featuring greenhouses, irrigation infrastructure, and food production facilities and plans for residential plots and retreats. And the people of Kenya are like, why are we letting Israelis build a colony here? This is crazy. Okay. Then you'd see articles like this. So as I was researching this, it was like half the time it'd be random comments being like, you know, that's happening here too. I'd go look it up. And sure enough, that's what's happening. The other half of the time, I'm getting articles that are disproving the claims. But you look into it, and actually it is true, like this one. Nothing proves there's a project to create a private neighborhood for 300,000 Israeli refugees in Argentine Patagonia. And basically this is kind of a Snopes-like thing where it's like, they say that Argentina will accept more than 300,000 Israeli refugees and establish them in a private neighborhood in Patagonia. But the conclusion is there's no trace of this alleged leak in the media or a report cited by internet users. This is a statement that spreads false narrative based on anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. But if you actually look into the Argentinian-Israeli connection, there's a hell of a lot there, including this. A closer look at Joe Lewis's private army in Patagonia. Who makes up the Pachi clan? The once radical mayor of El Bason recruited unemployed youth from the area. The force is led by lawyer Jose Luis Bianco, who represents Hidden Lake, Joe Lewis's corporation, a police officer, and the pivotal figure of Van Dittmar. But basically, there's this Englishman, Joe Lewis. He was actually a business partner of George Soros and was recently on trial here in America for insider trading. But he owns a private lake in Argentina and apparently, according to this article, has essentially a private army, comprises parastatal groups made up of provincial police and ex-police officers, private security agents, rural laborers, and general laborers from Hidden Lake, in addition to largely unemployed youth recruited from the neighborhoods of El Bason. So, okay, all right, so maybe some Israelis are buying up large chunks of Patagonia and then running it like a private colony, but, you know, it's anti-Semitic to say that. An entrepreneur wants to found an Israeli colony in Salento. The name of the project, conceived by Israeli entrepreneur Orit Lav Marom, says she's trying to implement through specially founded real estate company Coral 37. She's trying to start a colony for Israelis in Salento. And apparently they'd try to do this in Cyprus already. Not long ago, we were told you about the malaise spreading in Cyprus over the large increase of the number of Israelis settling on the island, building closed and socially independent communities with schools, kosher supermarkets, and synagogues, all while tensions in the region between Israel and Turkey are steadily rising. Apparently, the risk of such a phenomenon would be repeated in Italy, especially in Salento, Puglia. Okay, so multiple places in Italy. Israelis are building their own sort of, you know, walled communities, as well as Cyprus, the half Turkish, half, I guess it's, I assume it's still, I don't know. I don't know what the state of Cyprus is now. In the 70s, it was taken over by Turkey. Albania protest targets Kushner Link project because they're building it in Albania, again, right across the strait from another one. Coral 37, the project for an Israeli colony in Salento, sparks controversy. Alarm in Cyprus. Israelis buying up entire districts as politicians warn of a threat to sovereignty. Wave of anti-Semitic rhetoric hits Cyprus over the Israeli deal. Israeli soldiers go on vacation to Patagonia on a regular basis in order to help map it. And there's more. This got mixed up somehow with all the other stuff. But there's the Oblast in Russia. There's chunks of Ukraine that are being siphoned off. The Israelis are building colonies all over the world. Are we concerned about this? Should we be? Why are they doing it when they have their homeland? Why do they need all these colonies? Is this a global plan of domination or something? What's the deal? I don't get it. Just kidding. I get it.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan,
a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites.
Oh.
Look. Vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow. The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc. I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.